All right, what's up, Unnamed Movie Car Podcast listeners? My name is Zach, and before we get into this special episode, no, it is not Saturday. Today is a Thursday, and today is a special Thursday here in America. It is Thanksgiving. So this episode was actually pre-recorded way back in April, April 21st, actually, and it features me, of course, my dad, and my uncle slash my dad's brother, George. So it's very nostalgia-filled. If you grew up in the 70s and 80s, this podcast is for you. We talk a lot about that stuff. We talk about my uncle's car history, and we talk about a couple of movie cars here and there, but it's more so just a fun, laid-back, chatting about nostalgia-type podcast. So if you're into that, this one is definitely for you. Like I said, this was pre-recorded, so we make a joke of it saying that it actually is Thanksgiving. It's not actually Thanksgiving, and originally this podcast was going to come out the Saturday after Thanksgiving, but we moved it to Thanksgiving proper. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys are enjoying your families if you celebrate Thanksgiving. If not, I hope you're having a wonderful Thursday, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
All right, welcome back to the Unnamed Movie Car Podcast. We have a special episode for you today because it is Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving was actually a couple days ago, but it is Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy hey, Thanksgiving. Thanks.
Yeah, we have a special guest on the pod.
Yes.
George.
Hey, thanks so much.
That's so this is my brother, George.
My uncle.
Yes.
For those of you keeping track at home with the family tree.
Those of you scoring.
Yeah, exactly.
First guest on the pod, too.
All right. So,
what can I say, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, we wanted to do something special.
When I heard you were talking cars, I had to get involved.
Okay.
Are you going to keep up this radio voice the entire time?
It depends on what you want to do. I could, you know. You know, I was
like
a DJ.
He was a DJ. Yeah. I don't know what he called.
For what?
Exactly.
He was. He was at for
a DJ in college.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was
and,
a DJ.
And WKDI out in College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn.
Wow. Nice.
I was
Look at
doing news traffic and also filling in for the Jays once in a while.
We got weather on the 10s. Okay,
exactly.
George.
In fact, I got arrested on the air once.
All right. He did.
Wait,
he got arrested.
What?
Seriously,
you got arrested on the radio.
Naperville was celebrating its sesquicentennial, and I decided I was not going to grow a beard because
that
I would have to change my name on the radio to Patchy Fog because that's how to come in. But the police chief of Naperville, along with my father, showed up at the radio station and presented me with a citation.
Wow.
Yeah. So
on
there you
the
go.
Air.
Yeah.
Well,
the air.
I can assure you this podcast won't have any arrestings going on.
Well, I don't know.
Unless anyone here has warrants. Speak up now or forever hold your peace.
Maybe.
I think anyone listens to this will be arrested.
Oh, hey. At least your attention will be
hey.
We're here all week.
So let's talk movie cars.
Because
this is what the podcast is all about.
Yep,
what are your guys' favorite movie cars?
It's just going to be a little bit different than our normal.
Yeah, we're not focusing on a particular movie today, or show or anything like that. So we're just chatting. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. We are in Plymouth Rock.
We're recording live. I forgot to tell you where we're recording from today. We are live from Plymouth Rock.
And before we go too far into it, shout out. Yeah. We might as well do the shout out.
Shout out to Craig Lieberman.
Shout out.
We got to shout him out, Craig Lieberman.
We shout out to Craig Lieberman every show.
Every show.
I believe since the second one.
I think so.
I don't think.
Did you know that Craig was involved in the Fast and Furious series?
You know what?
Yeah,
I think
really?
It came up.
I think that part of his past
came up.
That's nice. Good.
And that the original movie was actually not made to be a car movie.
No,
we did not talk about that.
Serious?
The Fast and the Furious.
Wait,
what was it meant to be?
Craig, hello. These guys are not listening to your YouTube videos.
All right,
it is serious.
All right.
Wait. So explain.
What happened is that the first movie was actually supposed to be just an action movie. It really wasn't supposed to be all around cars.
Really.
And so they did it with the cars and such, and then it became such a huge hit that they decided that they were going to go farther with it. And that's why, if you look at the first movie, and actually shouting out to Craig, if you go on his YouTube channel and you watch some of those videos, he talks all about the fact that there's so many inconsistencies that car guys, like probably most people listening to this podcast, would pick up on.
Right.
Well, you
we knew that.
Did.
I mean, you know, the inconsistencies
did.
There.
I'm not as good as you are, Zach.
Thank
with
you.
The inconsistency. No, I'm not.
Thanks
with
for
the
recognizing
inconsistency.
It.
Oh, geez.
It's important that you,
wow.
you
okay.
know it.
But you have to understand that we are a car family. So, George and I actually went to auto mechanics class. Today. We actually, George,
mechanic A.
George is mechanic A, and I'm mechanic B. And so we actually learned how to take apart engines. We
yeah,
took
you guys learned
class,
on what, Model T's, or was that Model A's when by the
Stop.
Time you guys were in school?
You suck.
I'm just asking.
We
a
built the first
wow.
engines.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez,
we're the Wright
Holy
brothers.
Cow,
of
yeah.
The Wright brothers of what?
The gas engine.
of the gasoline
engine. Yeah, we totally pioneered. No, George and I actually went to COD. And yep. went to engines course. You got an A, and I got a B, and I was pissed.
Well, that's because I had replaced an engine in my
yeah,
car.
Yeah, true.
Although I think that was actually after the class yeah. that
but
I
you did
attempted.
Does that
better.
Count as a
yeah.
ringer for that class? So you
can it should.
Yeah, knowledge yeah, exactly. of,
it was how, the MR2 you replaced the engine in, correct?
The MR2, and also I pulled one out of a minivan and replaced it. And I'll
oh,
be
wow.
honest,
that's
I would
be
never
tough.
Do it again.
that's, yeah, that's
what minivan
tough.
Was. Do you remember?
I was a red 85 Plymouth Voyager.
I was going to say, if it was a Chrysler product, I don't blame you.
And, yeah, I probably did not yeah. need to replace the engine, but yeah. I took it apart. I had, you know, all the...
Was
I
that
had,
in the Honda garage?
It was in the Honda garage.
Was it?
So, again, so that's kind of, you know, it's a little bit off track, but they used to have
like
school...
Like, we don't ever get off track.
You know, like, on track.
Had school buses that the guy was an artist in Naperville, and he would bring the school bus in, and he would paint school buses, because art doesn't always pay the bills. But,
yeah,
you know,
right.
that kind of stuff does. But, yeah, it was in the haunted one.
And that was the bucket of dead rats, too, right?
That was the bucket of dead rats. But that's a story for another
that's
podcast.
Right.
You guys are throwing, our... like, what's the bucket of dead rats?
Oh, my goodness. So I have had a, ever since I was young, I've had an aversion to rodents because of the fact that the way that they scurry around and such. I think it all started when there was a piece of property out on Burlington.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't Burlington. It was the other one.
It was
called
Road.
The property. Yeah,
Plank
on Plank
Road.
Road.
Yeah,
and
Road.
So there was this old little house, and this was back when the houses were just literally one room.
It was a shack.
And so went into the shack, and we were cleaning the shack out. And so we're just kind of goofing around, so we're sweeping it out. So just as a joke, I take the broom, and I hit the wall, which had like a felt.
No.
And mice scurried all over the place.
It was field bad. Mice everywhere. Yeah, it was bad.
I don't know why. It's just kind of followed me around. So in this case, what I had done is that while I was working on an engine, I actually put some of the coolant in the bucket, and don't do that at home. And so I had coolant in a bucket, and I'm like, oh, shoot, okay. Well, you know what? I need to clean this up. And, oh, man.
Oh,
I
know where this story
I left
goes,
some rags in there. So I reached my hand in there and kind of like the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like, those aren't rags.
Yeah.
So that was
dead. It was dead, bloated mice, right?
No, dead, bloated. Like those are rats.
Dead, bloated rats. You thought were rags, and you grabbed.
And.
So that is the danger of working on an engine. You might get a bucket of rats.
Well, the whole thing about it is that, you know, when you're working on an engine stuff, trying to keep all the parts separate and all that, it's, you know, I didn't have a real nice garage that I could have all the stuff
really
nice.
No, that was
nice
a haunted garage. It was a haunted garage.
That wholeheartedly would have been the last day of my life. 100%. I would have just dropped I don't even know. It's probably, what, like a 2.4 liter out of the Plymouth Voyager?
Yeah, actually it was.
Yeah?
Good, yeah.
Non-turbo, baby. Yeah.
Wow. Because
they made a turbo version.
See, he knows his car.
But I would have just dropped that engine block on myself and just been like, take me now, Lord. Because if I grabbed a dead, bloated rat.
It was bad.
No.
It was.
No,
well, because
I'm done. I'm out.
We live like two blocks from the river, so. Yeah. I was growing up, there was rats all over there. But in downtown Chicago, you know, plenty of rats down by the river. But those were like dogs.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. So we have grown up with cars.
Yes.
And we have, we've always, and I think we actually get that from our dad.
Well, yeah, he liked a lot of cars, but he didn't really, nice ones.
It's always been peculiar to me. Why did Grandpa want a Model A? Because he wasn't a car guy. He liked cars, I guess. But
well, he liked them. Just like,
but it's
he
like,
liked, by the way, he liked police cars.
Yeah, he did.
We always had police cars.
Shout out to the two that aren't here, Nick and Colin. That
is true. Yeah,
carried down.
Right.
Just
but
a little bit.
Yeah, but he didn't. It was mom who decided to get him
grandma, for those of you listening.
Yeah, I'm
at
sorry.
Home.
It's
oh, those of you keeping score.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's frantically trying to draw a family tree in crayon and just failing.
Well, I can just imagine now the graphic that goes with this.
Yeah, that's right. It's sad. By the way, it's sad.
She just got him the Model A?
So, as I recall.
Go ahead. Oh, the story, and I'll correct
it. Do you know the story?
Yeah, I actually do know the story.
All right, so go ahead. You probably know it better than I do, so go ahead.
Yeah, so my dad would always, he really loved Model A's, but he liked to look at Model A's, and I think it was more of a, wow, that's really nice, because he would do that with a lot of things.
Yeah,
at parades and stuff.
Yep.
For whatever reason, he really liked Model A's, though. And so there was a couple of people in town that had them, and he would go for rides and such. And so at one point, my mom was trying to figure out what to get him for their anniversary.
25th anniversary.
Okay. Anniversary, absolutely.
Yep.
And so
1985, I believe, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, wow, great memory.
Well, I know that our family got the Model A in 85 for the 25th wedding anniversary. That's the story that I know.
Oh, I see, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
did not know that. Same year as your RX-7.
Same year, yeah, that's the reason I remember it.
And that's
so
the year I bought the MR2.
Wow,
is it?
85.
And
that
that's
song
big year.
From Bowling for Soup has that sweet 1985 song. It's called 1985.
Yep.
You guys
well,
know that song?
No.
We've seen Madonna way before. Okay, no, you guys don't
no,
know.
I no,
we're
close,
giving him stares that you
right,
wouldn't
yeah.
believe.
I close my eyes and it's like I'm sitting yeah, there with
okay.
the...
All right, go on.
Okay. No, when... Well, and I had a Chevette that then I traded in for an MR2 and got a ticket 2 hours later. But that's a story for a little bit later. So what happened was that my mom had worked hard. She had some stock options, and she sold those stock options in order to be able to afford the Model A. Mm-hmm. And she worked with a local Model A club in order to be able to get this. So what happened is that they decided that they were going to have all these Model A's come over and say, okay, well, this is, you know, we're going to go for a ride. And so they had the whole club come over. And so my dad got in. And at the end of it, one of the guys presented my dad with the keys from my mom. Yeah,
I didn't remember that part, but you're absolutely right. They did. He didn't know until the very end.
No, he didn't know. He was surprised.
That key that we have that actually I drove the Model A for like an hour today.
Yeah.
And I never knew how to do anything with Model A until I watched your video.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you driven it?
I've only driven it once.
Oh, wow.
I
would say close to 40 to 50 miles on
it
this year.
Kind of a daily driver.
This year. Yeah. I mean, because I took it like on a 30-minute each way drive. I took it another 30-minute each way drive. I drove it for probably about an hour today.
Cars need to be driven.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that once it gets warm, that thing just cruises.
It's always funny, too, when you talk to people and they're like, oh, and we say, yeah, we keep our cars for a long time. We have a Pacifica from, 2004. 2004.
That's an understatement.
And we have a 90-year-old car.
Yeah.
So,
You know, it's honestly surprising that Pacifica has held on as long as
long as it has. Yeah, that's a pretty, we got lucky, because that's a pretty
solid
car.
We got lucky, and also we don't really put miles on it.
No. No, it doesn't have much.
110,000?
Maybe.
I've put close to 20,000 on my Mazda since last August.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah. Well, and everyone in our family likes to drive. I mean,
we do.
Colin likes to drive. Nick likes to drive.
We're a very driven family.
We are, absolutely.
that was terrible.
That was terrible. So let's not do that as a soundbite.
Yeah, but so is that all you know about the story of the Model A? Is that...
That's all I know. That's all I remember about it, you know.
Because the sad thing is, I don't know where it came from. I don't know who owned it before.
Right.
That would
be
very interesting.
I mean, I was thinking about it.
Al Capone.
Yeah.
There was some guy that drove this thing in the 50s as a 20-year-old car, as like probably a beater in the 50s.
Yeah,
and
we
then,
don't.
I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It was probably a cheap form of transportation.
But what's interesting, I don't think people realize how many Model A's were built.
4.4 million.
Yeah.
Was there?
There's a
in
lot.
In 4 years, 4.4 million.
It's crazy.
And there's a ton of them still out there. It's one of the most popular vintage cars.
I was telling, someone stopped me at the gas station or something. And they're like, is this a Model A? And I'm like, yes, there's so many body styles of the Model A.
Yes, there are.
Because ours is the four-door, which is actually really, really rare.
Oh,
really rare. Low percentage of cars were actually four doors. the main style was the coupe, which looks like ours, just shortened a little bit, and it only has two doors, but it still has a back seat. Then there's the two-door Roadster, which was the convertible, and the two-door Roadster with the rumble seats.
Yes, right.
Gotcha.
The That's rumble super seats dangerous. Out back. There was a pickup truck.
It is.
I mean, yeah, literally a rumble seat was called that because it was over the rear axle.
Well,
any bump you hit, you're, you know,
I'm not sure how it was more dangerous than the well in the Volkswagen. But
The well in the Volkswagen. That
what
was
a well
fun.
Is there's a little space behind the back seat, which you really, like, you're supposed to put a briefcase or something back there. But as kids, we'd climb back there and.
Are you talking about like a bug?
Yeah.
Okay.
A Volkswagen bug. Yeah.
That's the one of the trio that I haven't driven yet. I've driven a Karmann Ghia and I've driven a bus, but I haven't driven a bug yet. I need to find a bug.
You need to find a bug, but
I've been looking for ones that are for sale just to like drive it for
you can find them not bad.
Yeah.
Not like a real nice one that you can find for like $8,000.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
we totally need to look into that. By the way, speaking of the Model A's, though, I want to give a shout out to Paul Shin.
Shout out Paul Shin.
Paul Shin,
you need to go on his
YouTube
channel.
You would appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a
cool
Model A aficionado.
Yep.
He knows everything about Model A's. Anything you want to know, go to Paul Shin's channel.
Nice
guy. PaulShinn. I did a podcast with him a little while ago, Down to Earth Guy. He teaches you literally everything about Model A's.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's great because when I watched his videos, one of the things he talked about was everyone makes the joke about, you can get it in any color as long as it's black. And that actually is not – that actually wasn't true. It was only true for like a year.
With the Model T.
With the Model T,
right,
not
Model
the Model
T.
A.
Yes.
Which was 1919.
Yes. So it was like a year or two, he said. And it was, and then he said, what did he say? Like the Model A or Model T, I think, when it first came out, didn't even have black as an option.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was what he was talking. So he explained.
Yeah.
He knows, like you said, he knows everything about it, but super nice in the way he presents information, all that. So very cool.
Yeah. So shout out there.
Yeah.
But what other cars have you owned? Let's get into your car history.
Oh, man.
Go through them.
We've talked our car history into the dust on this show.
Well, I think, you know, if we go back, the first car that I ever had was a red Volkswagen Bug.
Was it?
Yeah.
That was the first one?
That was the first car
I
ever had.
Holy cow.
Okay. Mid-70s here, like in year?
66, I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah,
66.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that's the car that I learned how to drive stick on.
Yeah.
That was
fun. And I learned how to do that. There's a road near us, and my dad just gave me the keys to the car and said, go learn how to drive stick. And here's kind of how you do it. And then I got to the top of a hill, which anyone who's driven stick will be able to go along with this. It's very frightening. And I was able to figure it out. It was up at Chicago Avenue in Charles. Ah. It was crazy. And then cars started to line up behind me.
Yeah.
So
that's the worst.
It is the worst.
Yeah. Wait, Chicago and?
Charles.
Charles.
So it's like top.
I got stuck on Chicago when I was learning stick shift in a Nissan Versa.
Yeah,
and people started lining up behind me, and I just dumped the clutch and did a little front-wheel drive burnout going up the hill.
Charles is by the old bubblegum factory. Remember?
Exactly.
Yeah,
but that's you need to learn how to drive stick. I mean, driving stick is such a wonderful experience. And a lot of people are like so afraid of it. Europeans know it, but
it baffles me that Grandpa knew how to drive stick shift.
Really?
I don't know why that's a hard concept for me to grasp.
Yeah.
But it's just because I don't think of Grandpa as like banging gears and
he actually
clutches,
he was in the Army though he drove trucks in the Army. Yeah, so
the idea that the Jeeps were manual, the fact that we were fighting the Nazis and throwing gears is a beautiful
and if you've ever tried to drive those things, the play in the steering wheel is so bad that it's bad.
It's probably almost as bad as a first gen RX. I have the sloppiest steering box in the world. The first gen RX-7s have a steering box, not a steering rack, like every car after 1955.
All right, so what's the difference with the box?
The box is literally it's a gear, it's like a transmission almost gearbox.
Okay.
Like in the engine bay that I don't really know how it works. I don't plan on learning how it works because I'm going to swap to a rack from a second gen.
Yeah.
But basically, they have a bunch of slop from the factory.
Okay.
They'll always have slop in them. You can rebuild it perfectly with a rebuild kit from Atkins Rotary, shout out. And it'll still have slop in it. It's just the pickup trucks traditionally have steering boxes, older pickup trucks.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right,
so
cool,
it's
yeah.
just a very rudimentary way of, which is why the first gen RX-7 always made sense to me, was that my first car was the 98 Ram.
Right.
That had a steering box and a solid rear axle. The first gen RX-7 has a steering box and a solid rear axle. So it
okay.
always just made sense to me. I had a one-piece drive shaft, all this stuff that a pickup truck really has,
yeah.
but it's in a sports car form where traditional sports cars now have two-piece drive shafts and they have, you know, live rear axles, or not live rear axles, independent rear suspension, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Very, well,
you guys taking notes?
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to
taking
say,
notes?
To be honest with you, I didn't hear a word you said. I was actually messing with the audio. So,
well, there's two things about the Volkswagen that were kind of cool. One of them was the fact that the heat was either on or off. There was
yeah.
no, there's no warming up. It'll either burn the hair on your legs or, you know, you're freezing your tail off. And then the second thing is that it's one of the best snow cars. Most people don't know that. It's one of the best snow cars
yeah.
that was ever built. And then from that car, then I graduated up to the 69 Chevelle.
Man,
so
that
you
was your
held
second
on to
one.
That.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I had
really
held
now,
on to my Porsche, that would have been
well.
Yeah,
okay,
there.
So
worth 110.
So you had the yeah. Chevelle.
Yeah.
Before you had the second Chevelle that you raced in the race, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So my daily driver was a 307 Chevelle, 69 Chevelle, and then I decided to race demolition.
Yes.
And for the demolition, I found a 68 Chevelle, which is exactly
okay.
the same.
Yeah.
Because 70 was when they changed the body style on that.
Right.
And so when I was on the track, it was. I knew exactly how to work it through slides. I
yep.
knew
yep.
how the tail would
yeah.
go back, all those kind of things. So it made it really easy.
Yep.
The funny part
yep.
is like going from the Volkswagen to the Chevelle, it was
oh,
the gas
God.
Is that you
yeah.
went. You know,
what year is this about?
This was 70, 77, 78.
Okay, so right maybe? After the gas shortage and everything. A little bit after that, no, or still?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because I know emissions cracked down in 73. That's
yeah.
like when
yeah.
emissions really started. And we started with the gas fuel crisis and everything.
Honestly,
but,
when I was driving, I don't remember the gas crisis.
Yeah,
so it was really before us and our initial
I think,
driving.
Okay. Well, I think it was because that was Jimmy Carter. So I'm
yeah.
trying to remember what years that was. Okay.
That was.
Good thing this isn't a president's show.
Yeah, the unnamed president's
right, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we. I remember that was a big deal when I was in fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
And the election was when I was in fifth grade, so that was 77.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So a little bit
like
after,
that.
So it wasn't as big of a deal driving it.
Right.
And to be
yeah.
honest, at that age, it was not.
Yeah,
I didn't even care. And you know, the funny part was that the. Like going back to the Volkswagen, it didn't have, it had like that little crappy radio that Volkswagens
oh, yeah.
come with.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
first thing I
yep,
did with
yep.
my first paycheck from my first real job at Wendy's is I bought a cassette deck to put
oh,
into
geez.
It. And they had these giant speakers that would go back in the well that I could take out. So if I went to a forest preserve to
yeah.
have a soda with a friend or something,
right.
they could pull us out, play frisbee, whatever. And that was a lot
ah,
of fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't you have an 8-track in one of your cars?
I did have an 8-track,
yeah.
and
click,
I,
click.
No, yeah, I
click,
thought
click.
The songs all had a click, click, and that in the middle songs they would just kind of go down, and they would click, and they would come back.
I forgot
but,
that the volume would go down.
Oh, yeah, the volume would go down. And
My first RX-7, the radio did that. It, the,
yeah.
the,
did?
The cassette player would click, click, and it would go low.
Oh.
And then the song would continue.
Oh, wow.
But it did it, like, every minute, so I don't know if this... It was very broken.
That might be broken.
I think that
yeah.
might be
oh,
broken.
Oh, yeah, no, this was, like, terribly yeah. broken. This
no, this
awful.
Was a typical 8-track thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
my best friend in high school had a 69 Chevelle convertible.
Wow.
That, and it was cherry. I mean,
who
that
had,
thing was
that?
Mike Honorborn.
Really? He
yeah.
had a 69?
That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the until... I threw up once on his dashboard, but that's...
Yeah, it happens.
I warned him, make
yeah.
me do a shot of Jack.
yeah.
It's going to come right back.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that's what happened.
But no, it was fine. We had a lot of fun. That car was so nice to cruise around in and such. And
oh, sure.
Then,
especially with the convertible, probably no back seat belts.
No.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. No back seat
I think
belts,
the
yeah.
kind of the grungiest car I had in high school was... for a very short period of time, for 3 months, I had a station wagon. And probably so short that you don't remember it.
I love station wagons with a passion.
Yeah, really?
It was the old school station wagon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my buddies would go in there, and we actually one night we went down to the high school parking lot. It was snowing, and so we were kind of doing donuts and stuff. I think the statute of limitations is done here.
Yeah.
So one of my buddies was in the back seat. And the door flew open. He fell out, and we ran over his leg. But he was fine. So,
what are we talking? Like a Buick Roadmaster?
I think it was a Chevrolet.
Was it silver?
Yes.
See?
Yeah.
I remember that car. And I do remember.
You shouted out a random color. Don't give yourself that much props.
Come on. It wasn't a guess like that.
But was the color of it on the rainbow? Yeah. See, I knew I remembered it.
I threw a rod in that car. That was.
Did you really?
Oh, that was bad.
What a Chevy. Yeah.
And that's hard to do. That was an 8-cylinder. So, to do that.
Yeah.
Why are you really beat on that car,
I will guarantee it was a Chevy 350. The fact that you threw a rod in a Chevy 350.
Actually, I think you're right.
How? I
don't know. Actually, that's the thing. Because I drove it as hard as I drove any of the other cars.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you ever put oil in it?
Hey, I did know.
So, yeah.
As long as it's leaking, it means it still has oil.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Model A.
And back then, those cars did leak a lot.
Oh,
yes, for sure.
Oh, every car did.
But then, you know, when I went off to college, I didn't have a car up at college. All I had was a little 250cc Yamaha Exciter motorcycle. And I would ride that in the winter.
Yeah, I remember.
250 isn't terrible. That's a decent size.
Yeah, it's a little above a dirt bike.
but you can get around.
But it got around campus. It was a whole lot better than the buses and such. So
yeah.
I don't know. To me, the one thing is that vehicles, the transportation, that independence. And I've always been big on that. And I used to park it in my bedroom in the apartment building. So
can't beat that parking.
It was not a great neighborhood.
That's
so
indoor parking, right?
And
there.
I rode it into like the Animal House thing. I rode it into the house during a party. So
there you go, indoor parking. Yeah,
yeah, it was indoor parking.
All right, good.
So after college, first car back out of college.
Oh man, so first car back out of college. Oh, that was the Chevette. So that was a decent car.
I liked that.
It was a nice car, but it was really not built very well because I slid into a curb once and it like took out the whole front right.
I was in Lexington a few years ago and I saw a mint Chevette in brown at a Walmart in Lexington, Kentucky.
How many doors?
Wow.
I believe it was a four door actually.
I had a four-door.
Yeah, so it was like super rare.
I love that car.
I'm trying to remember. I don't even remember whether I had a two-door or four-door.
I do. You had a two-door.
Yours
was
yellow, no? Was it yellow? White?
It was white.
Mine was white, but I remember we had to jump your car once. But other than that, it was a really good, solid, always ran car.
Yeah, I think the one consistency is that no matter whether I had a Chevette or a Porsche, or BMW, I always kept them clean. I was always really big on that.
You always kept your car.
Well, because it's part of respect for the vehicle and respect for things you own and that.
Yep.
But the funny part is going from the Chevette to the 85 MR2.
I remember
the first time I saw that car in the showroom, and then I went to the back where they were prepping it and told them, don't put any of your stickers on it and stuff. And I saw the car, and it was like a shining moment where,
it was blue, right? Like
it was
dark
blue. Yes, it was just gorgeous. One of my friends was an artist, and he put pinstriping on it that just really brought it out.
AW11 baby.
It was like a sky blue though, wasn't it? Or was it? It was a lighter.
It was lighter blue.
I only have one picture of it, and it's a picture of your first gen RX-7 in your driveway.
Yeah.
And the MR2 is parked behind the tree. Back when Grandma and Grandpa had that huge tree in their front lawn.
Oh yeah.
So it was in the shade. So I assume that's the only photo I think I've seen of it.
So I was looking at Fieros at the time too, and I think I made the right choice.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Okay, to be fair, people throw shade on the Fieros, and I used to too. I drove one last summer. If you get the V6, if you don't get the Iron Duke, the 2.5 liter Iron Duke is literally a mail truck engine.
No.
All of our mail trucks have 2.5 liter Iron Dukes in them.
Wow.
Yes, and they've had them since the 90s.
Wow.
But the V6 Fiero actually isn't bad to drive. No, it's a lot more spacious than an MR2, I tell you that much.
You're almost hesitant there, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's it's an American car, so it doesn't corner as much as the as well as the imports do.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still a fun car to drive. You have a V6 behind you, like it's a manual. The shifter is like 8 feet tall.
Well, your friend had one when you had your MR2.
Mike Unterborn, the one who had the Chevelle.
Yes. He had the Fiero.
Then he went to the Fiero.
Two shout outs for Mike.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we used to race SCCA. So we would take it down. There was a go-kart track in Utica.
Oh, wait. No, I have that footage. Is your MR2 in that footage?
You do. Yeah, my MR2 is in that footage as well as Mike's. And that's also where the Porsche
rolled over.
Rolls over.
Yeah.
And everybody pushed it back out to the side of the expressway so that he could get his insurance money. So, someday if. Oh, no. If we get that footage, and rat the guy out.
There's a State Farm agent listening to this going, wait a second.
Well, wait a minute. It's the dog of the State Farm agent because that's our demographic.
Our key demographic is dogs that are home alone and someone accidentally left the TV on. That's our main audience.
That's the main audience. Yeah.
Well, this is kind of droning,
so
it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, the dogs feel good that
The AW11 MR2, the first gen MR2, is the last generation I have to drive of the MR2s. And I've been I found one. A guy offered me a red one, and he sent it to me, and he's like, well, the engine's next to it right now. And I'm like, okay.
That means it's going to be there for a while.
I was
going
to say, I was like,
that happened to me.
You swapped the engine, right?
I did.
He swipped it. He did, in fact, swip it.
Yeah.
Swip it.
That's what you just said.
But
I
actually,
did not say, I said nothing of the
play
sort.
Play it back!
Exactly. Well, it's kind of cool because I took the car from birth to death.
Yeah.
So it was... I was the only person to ever own that car, ever drive that car, really. So,
how many miles did you put on?
I think it got up to about 165,000.
Oh, my gosh.
I drive cars.
I thought you owned this car for like 3 years.
No, I owned it for a lot longer than that. And actually, that was also the car where we had an MR2 club, and we actually met down at a gas station, and we had to push my car to the event because, and then all these other MR2s. Now, this was pre-internet where there was like Usenet groups and stuff. Somehow we were able to, the internet was used for other things.
On CompuServe.
Shout out CompuServe.
No, it wasn't even CompuServe.
Man, if we could get a CompuServe sponsorship on this podcast.
Or Prodigy.
That would be Prodigy.
That one had lots of colors.
That was the other thing, Prodigy.
But no, that was a lot of fun because we got people together, and that's why your RX-7 group really kind of inspired me because, like, wow, you know, it's exactly what we had done back then. And getting people together that just enjoy vehicles and stuff is just so awesome.
Big I'm very excited for this year's RX-7 meetups that already happened now because of Thanksgiving. I'm super excited for the events that already happened this year.
It was amazing.
They were so good. You know, I'm just going to give a couple different takes and we can cut in. They were great. Hold on. Silence, please. They were great. They were okay. They could have been better. All right, we'll splice in whichever one of those.
I can't believe they were canceled.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Should we give takes for, like, natural disasters?
Exactly.
I can't believe a tornado ruined it. I can't believe there was a second pandemic. I can't believe the robots took over.
We had to put a mask on the car.
We'll splice in one of those.
All of that works,
So when did you end up selling the MR2?
I ended up having like one of those salvage dealerships. I sold everything off of it.
Wow.
And I picked it clean.
Yeah.
Actually, that was why when I watched you do that with the RX-7, I was like, wow, you're doing the same thing. So yeah, I dropped everything out. I sold all the pieces and parts. For a while, I kept the driver's seat and then I never got around to turning it in.
You ever wonder if those parts are on an MR2 that's running right now?
I would guess it probably is because there was like an air intake.
Yeah.
I had sandblasted the air intake at work and sold it. But this was kind of fun because I was selling parts to guys that were like in Europe and stuff, as well as all over the country.
Yeah.
And it really, back then, it wasn't, you know, like now it's no big deal to, you know, sell stuff online and
I felt like a businessman, like a.
I was broke back then, so it was like didn't have it. Then I went through that dark period where I had just basic transportation cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, those, but you know what, that's, I still love those cars. It was just, you know, early on when I was dating this one girl, she had a Mazda 626.
Oh, love and me a good 626.
Actually, it was a really nice car.
Love me a good 626. The predecessor to your Mazda 6.
Exactly.
They just cut two of the numbers off.
Well, and actually, I had a Mazda Millennia.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that. Yeah, that was exactly.
But so that's when the Voyage, of course, kids come along. And Colin, shout out to Colin. Shout out to Caitlin.
Shout out to
Brandon.
We love you.
Tanya. And my daughter, Tanya, she threw up in almost every one of my cars.
Good.
Nice.
So, yeah, the MR2 got christened.
It's a way to christen.
It was.
I thought she was going to throw up in the back of my Pontiac G6 two Christmases ago.
Really?
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Well, there may have been more involved there than we know. So, so, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, with any of that stuff, once you get kids and stuff, and if you don't have a little extra cash to be able to have a toy, then, you know, you end up with, you know, like the Voyager, which actually wasn't a bad car at all. I mean, the van was, it did the job and such. Mm-hmm. And then I had an old Mazda, I want to say it was a 626.
There's a 323, there's a Protege.
Well, it was like it was like the Maxima, which was then, that's the Nissan version.
Right, probably would have been the 323.
Maybe it was a 323 because it was old. It got a lot of miles on it, and I ended up giving that to my brother-in-law.
There's a GLC? it a GLC? No.
No, that would be the great little car as it was, which it
I
was
not
that.
I almost got, like 3 years ago, I almost bought, not even bought, there was a Mazda GLC in Chicago, four-door wagon.
Nice.
That some guy was trying to get rid of with a title, and it was free if you had a trailer.
Oh, wow.
And
bring
I was,
a trailer. It was the original bring a trailer.
I wanted to get it so bad because people rotary swap them.
Yeah.
They just drop in the rotaries, and it's a rotary wagon.
Wow.
Which would be
wow,
so
that
cool.
would be cool. That would
My
be
dream
cool.
is an RX-3 wagon. The RX-3 wagons are just, they're unbeatable. But.
Well, that Mazda, what was fun with that is that I had the good fortune during the early years of the 2000s is that I, you know, was able to come into some money through my job, through you know, stock options and such. And so that was the car, and it was a piece of crap. And I drove it into the BMW dealership, and they wouldn't even talk to me.
Dude,
I can buy one of these things on the showroom cash, and you're not going to talk to me, so screw you. So I went online, and that was right when there was something called Auto by Tell, which was...
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, so it was 1998, 1999. So what I did is I went online.
Yeah, you were 2 years old, Zach. I just want you to know
so
that.
So don't
well,
worry about that.
I was
that,
very into cars at that point.
But I talked to him, and, you know, online, I set this whole thing up, and he's going, okay, what current cars do you want to drive? And I was like, well, I'd like to drive a 5 Series, I'd like to drive a convertible, 3 Series, and maybe even a 7 Series. And so he said, okay. He goes, Saturday, why don't you come over? I'm going to have 3 cars ready for you. Those 3 cars are yours to drive for the day. And all I ask you for is don't drive any of the cars for any less than 3 hours. I'm like, okay. I go, where is this at? It was the same dealership that the guy was giving me crap. And I told him, I said, I had a really bad experience there. He goes, trust me on this. And so
don't drive them for any less than,
any
3 hours.
Less than 3 hours.
Wow. Okay?
Because you wanted me to really know. So, you know, I drove the 5 Series and it was nice, but it was kind of, I don't know.
What year is this again?
It would be 1999.
Okay, so we're looking at like an E39. Okay.
Yeah.
5 Series, okay.
Yeah, and back,
very nice.
it was a nice car.
Yeah, they're nice.
And I drove the 7. 7 Series was a little too big for what I was looking for. And then I drove the 3 Series. And so it was a 328i.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was a 318i.
It was a 318 because it was the shortened one, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
So it was 318i convertible. It was the first year that they had the automatic retracting top. And then so it would go under the boot. The boot would come down. So you could do it. It would take 30 seconds because, of course, BMWs have a timer on the on the radio.
Seriously?
Yeah, they have a timer.
Wow.
So I did that because then I would know whether I could put the top up or down at a traffic light. So that was how I did
gotcha.
It. And actually, okay. one of the first stops I made was at your house.
Yes, I
and
remember
so
that.
And so came over. Yeah. Actually, you went for a ride at it when you were only two.
Wow.
But
and there it began.
And yeah, and it was like, well, it also began the process of when I would buy new cars, I would bring them over to your yeah. house. To
Which is funny because I reviewed a 318i.
Love that car.
Great car.
98. That's a great car.
I reviewed it in the neighborhood of our old house.
Really?
Oh, wow.
In that, yeah, the person who owned it lived in our old neighborhood. So I was driving it around in the old neighborhood. It was just, that's really surreal now knowing that I went for a ride in one.
It is. That's
when I was one or two.
That's really bizarre. I've always looked for a 318. They're hard to find. I had a hard time finding a 318. Like the 320 whatevers or
325.
Those are
I have a friend who can find you one. If you actually want one, he can find you one tonight.
I want a bug.
I know you
want a bug.
I want a bug.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I really
want a bug. Let's go halves on a bug.
Let's go halves on a bug.
$4,000 each. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's go three ways on it. We'll see.
Let's do it.
All right. There you go. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I mean, because that's a lot of fun. But I have to say, overall, if I think about all my cars, I think the BMW 318i convertible was the most fun overall because I had the 75 Porsche 911S.
Yeah, you totally skipped the Porsche. Yeah. We didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Trying to put them together in my brain.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly when I bought that, whether it was right before. It had to have been before the BMW. Because the thing about
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, because the Porsche was not a daily driver.
Oh, right, of
course. It had the big fat tires on the back. It was like driving a go-kart. I mean,
it was a 75 Porsche 911
S.
Yeah, okay.
Turbo.
So that is, okay.
And now my girlfriend's son has said that she thinks it was actually a 930. So
jeez.
I don't know whether it was or not. All I know is that I bought the car for like $12,000, and right now it would be worth like $100,000 if I still had it.
Yeah,
so
easily.
But you know, that's look, we all can go back to cars that we've had and stuff. But yeah, so the 911S was fun. I worked downtown, worked at a company called United Insurance at State and Wacker.
Oh yeah.
And so Gary actually went with me one day to work. We went downtown we were on Lower Wacker, which you can't really do this anymore. But
definitely not.
Took Lower Wacker, and that thing, you could take turns as fast as you want. It was not going to skip a beat.
It was weird. Yeah.
I think Gary probably almost wet himself because we took there's a final turn to get back onto the Eisenhower, and I did it about 65 miles an hour, and it was pretty intense.
I always thought it was getting off of the Eisenhower going on to Lower Wacker.
No.
I always take that corner in my car, and I'm doing like 45, 50, and it's like...
Coming out of Lower Wacker, it was kind of like the Batmobile coming out and then getting on the Eisenhower.
Yeah,
it was a very, very, very fast car. It had a racing clutch in it.
Okay.
And so the racing clutch, my left leg was about three times the size of my right leg.
Sure.
But it was fun to drive on open roads. It was horrible in traffic.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Because, number one, it's air-cooled and all that. And it was a powerful car. But the BMW, what you were able to do, and it was stick, but were able to just take it anywhere you want.
BMW shifters, especially from that era, too,
feel beautiful.
Amazing.
And it's a short shift.
Amazing.
Whereas the 911S, that thing was a really long
rowing
shift.
A boat.
And so my son's the only one who ever drove that car besides me and the family. Mm-hmm. He had just turned 16, and so we drove around the neighborhood and such. So
that
was
cool.
That was interesting.
That is
cool.
Man.
Yeah, so actually that would have been, 16 and 84? This is the math show. So I think that was right around 2000, right?
Probably.
84, 94.
Yeah,
2000. So that's about the time. So that was that was after the BMW.
Okay.
So, that car was great. I would have it in the garage. And one of the things that, you know, any of the cars of that age are infamous that if you don't keep them on a trickle charger,
Yeah.
That, you know, they don't start and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what actually the situation was, but I was wrong. I went out to take out garbage to the garage one night, and I noticed my oldest daughter was sitting in the car with the cordless cell phone or a cordless house phone, and she was using it as her own personal phone booth. That's why, and the light was on, and that's why it
she
was.
She kept killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she kept killing it. So,
was there a bucket of rats anywhere?
No, there was no bucket of rats. That was the last of the rats and such.
That reminds me of the story that mom actually told me about her growing up.
Yeah.
They had a refrigerator out in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They had a refrigerator
in the garage.
Out in the fridge. Yeah, they had a fridge.
You know,
it was
real popular.
It was Pimp My Ride. They had a fridge in the fridge in the fridge.
Right.
But they had a refrigerator out in the garage.
Yes.
Very popular thing in the Midwest.
Yes.
Very.
Yes.
Usually had beer.
Right.
Yes.
That was, it was basically a beer fridge.
Or Thanksgiving, as you know,
or Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Or the top of like a wedding cake or whatever. It was just like kind of like an extra manila white refrigerator. Anyway, so mom told me the story of they all got sick in the house one time and they kept getting sick and they couldn't figure out why. They left the meat out in the refrigerator in the garage and it was hooked up to the outlet that goes to the light switch. Every time they were turning the lights off in the garage, it was turning the refrigerator off.
Oh, man.
But what would happen was in the morning, turn the lights back on, everything would refreeze. So during the night, everything would go rotten, and then it would refreeze. So you take it out, and you're like, oh, it's still frozen. They'd go in it, and they were just cooking rotting meat.
That's nice.
That's nice.
So it's just one of those things you wouldn't really.
That reminds me when I was working at a help desk where the electrician, I did third level support for McDonald's back office computers. Mm-hmm. And the electrician, as a genius, had wired in the back office computer to the same circuit that had the front signs lights.
I'm surprised it wasn't the fryer.
So every night they would turn it off, and then in the morning the computer would be all screwed up, but it would be turned on, and they're like, what's going on here? And they would call us. It is funny how that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah. And you just don't even think about it. You think it's ghosts. You think it's just the world or whatever. And
that's
like, oh, no, it's just.
There's
a very factual reason for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, man, I wish you would have kept that Porsche. I mean, just for my own greedy.
Well, we can all.
If
I'm
you only kept it for 20 extra years.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Do your nephew a favor.
Right.
Do a solid,
although you didn't even know existed then.
My kids probably would have fought over that one.
I existed.
At that time?
Rude.
What?
Rude.
No, did you?
Well, you said you owned it around 2000, right?
Yeah.
2000?
Yeah, so I existed.
Yeah,
I
three.
In fact, I think there's some pictures of the kids near the Porsche.
Really?
Just near it. you can go within 35 feet of it.
Yeah, if anyone's driven that kind of a car, one of the things that you notice is that it has four seats. And the reason for that was insurance reasons.
Yeah.
So it would bring down the cost of insurance. However, if you had legs in the back seat, that was a detriment. So when my two youngest, Caitlin and Colin, they would sit in the back seat and we would go to the donut shop on Saturday mornings and meet some other Porsche enthusiasts there. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they could sit in the back. They were one of the few that could sit in
the
back.
Loved it, too. I mean, it was the best.
Which is great, but you're right. You have reviewed cars where, and I'm pointing to you, but you can't
see
that.
You're right, yeah. No one can see that.
It's very visual.
You have reviewed cars where they do. The back seats are a joke.
Well, actually, I'm literally thinking, I just finished editing. The video has been out long at this point. I just finished editing a Porsche 996 review. So it was a 99 911, which we have a connection to. We had a family friend that had a 996.
Yes.
In midnight blue with a tan interior, but this was silver with a black interior.
That's cool.
And I remember riding in the back seat of our family friend's Porsche.
Yes.
And so when I drove this car, I was like, let me see if I still fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Survey says I do not.
Yeah.
I have legs now.
Yes.
And
yes.
It has posed a problem to sitting in the back of a Porsche.
You're taller than 2 feet tall.
I can no longer sit in the back of a 911, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the Toyota 86s are just like that. I drove 2 days ago a Mustang GT, a brand new Mustang GT.
Right.
Can't sit in the back seat of those because I have a head, unfortunately. Yeah. Right. My head is up against the glass. It's no good.
But that's the whole thing is, you're right, for insurance purposes.
Yeah, it was 100% for insurance purposes. Yeah, the visibility, I rented a Camaro recently, and it was... The visibility was terrible. Non-existent.
Camaros and Mustangs are good at their top trim levels. I would not bother with anything rented or it's not worth it. Like the GT makes 400 some horsepower. Like then it's worth it. Sounds really good. This one had built-in line locks.
Oh, wow.
You know what line locks are, Dad?
I don't know.
So it just locks the front wheels like for braking. So you can just do a burnout. It's literally a burnout mode.
Really?
It's built in burnout mode.
Wow. Okay, that's cool.
It's really to heat up your tires for when you're going to drag race for the grip. But like Mustang owners, let's be honest here. It's really for the Whole Foods parking lot after 10 o'clock at night. Really cool stuff now. But the rental cars are, you can't see out of any of the modern muscle cars. Challenger's terrible. Camaro's terrible.
Wow, you got plenty of vision in the Lamborghini that you drove.
Oh, God. That was like being in a steel box.
It was. I test drove one.
Did you really? Yeah.
What did you test drive? It had to have been a Diablo, right?
I believe it was a Diablo.
That's a fighting chicken, isn't it?
Diablo,
it was. I just wanted to test drive because, again, I had stupid money for a short period of time. And that's also when I was looking at a Batmobile.
Shout out to stupid money.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, stupid money. I'd like to see it come back.
Yeah.
But that was fun. I went and I test drove the Lamborghini and I laughed because it was a friend of mine has one and it's like, for him, he loves it. But for me, it's just, I don't know.
Aren't they hard to drive? Aren't they different?
I didn't find it hard to drive. You just can't see anything.
Okay. Yeah.
And that, for me, that was being an engineer by trade. Things have to be functional as well as beautiful. So,
well, you're also German, so yeah.
German side.
About trying to move your house with a blindfold on. Like, that's how scary it is, because if you hit anything, that was the scary thing. I drove a 2016 Lamborghini Huracan, rear-wheel drive, V10, and I couldn't see out of it. And, of course, it's the rear-wheel drive version, one of only, like, 800 imported to the U.S.
Of course.
And it starts raining, and the owner's like, these are the original tires, and it had, like 30,000 miles.
Usually good in the rain. That was the weird part, is that my buddy's was like really good. Like, I thought it would be like freaking horrible. But, and he knows how to drive it. So, you know, but for him, I mean, that was always his dream car. And I'm happy for him that he was able to make that dream come true. Yeah.
Did it have one wiper? Isn't it like they?
No, I had two wipers.
Didn't it?
European cars only have one wiper. Or some people modify their cars to only have one wiper.
Yeah.
And those people eat crayons for breakfast because it's so stupid when people do that.
My car had manual wipers.
Oh, God.
The Blues Brothers where you have the string
Chevy Impala,
on the outside.
The 69 Chevy Impala I had.
What do you mean it had manual?
So the motor broke,
and
I had no way to move the wipers, so I tied a string to the wipers and literally had to go back and forth and pull the string back and forth to make the wipers work. It was
so
bad.
I lost the rubber stuff finally wore out on one of my older cars, and so I just took the arm off. So is that a modification to use one wiper?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
works. A really common thing, actually, on E36 BMW. So the 3 Series that you had, people do this. They modify it to be one single wiper in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is like, it looks cool, but what people don't think about is that it doesn't rest down at the bottom of the windshield anymore.
Right.
It rests like up like this. So your passenger is just staring at a windshield wiper.
Yeah. That's nice.
It's
that's
the stupidest thing that people do.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but you know,
that's
to
cool.
each their own, I suppose.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's not a whole lot of fun there. You know,
no,
doing that.
There's some really dumb modifications, but
yeah. But then you know, we got into we bought my ex-wife's car. We bought I don't even remember what the model was. It was a giant Mercedes. It was 500.
S550.
Oh, yeah.
S550.
Black Mercedes.
It was a monster. And it was the last year that they had, like, the bulletproof glass in the car.
Jeez.
It was heavy as hell. It had an early-on cell phone. The built-in.
That's right.
S550 was, I assume, a V8.
It was
a V12?
Giant. V8. No,
okay.
No. I wouldn't buy
I think
V12.
It, yeah, I think it's the S600 that had the V12.
Yeah, and I'm sure I got robbed on it. I'm positive of that. It was like a sales guy's car. It was like 2 years old.
It's a Mercedes. Everyone gets robbed on
it. Yeah, and
that,
so...
That 63 AMG that I drove, sticker price of $170.
Yeah.
My friend picked it up for $60. With 40,000 miles
on
it.
Wow.
Less yeah, well,
than the guy took a $110,000 bath.
Yeah.
Well, the ex-wife traded that in on a Durango after the divorce. So it
wow.
Was,
yeah.
Wow.
For her sake, I hope it was an RT edition. With the blue, with the white pinstripes, body kit.
And shout out to my son Brandon, who did neutral drops in it. And
nice.
Caused a lot of... A lot of repair costs there.
Okay.
So,
right.
But he said it was really fast when he did that. So,
nice. Yeah, that's great.
But you know,
it was a Mopar. It was going to drop the trans one day, or
right?
Later,
exactly.
He just
right,
accelerated
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It.
Well, yeah. And before that, we had a Dodge Intrepid.
Ooh.
And
that one. Yeah,
but it had the typical Dodge Intrepid problem where the engine just goes one day. It's like it just seizes up. And
Was it the 2.7? Do you know V6?
It was a 2.7. Yeah. Yes. So Brandon had taken
big
it up.
You're
here.
Good,
I
Zach.
Things.
You're
he's good.
Yeah.
I drove one last fall.
Okay.
You know the thing is, it was actually a really nice car. It was very
that
comfortable.
Was the surprise. I drove one with like 24,000 miles. This was like a museum piece of a Dodge Intrepid, which is weird. But it was actually a really nice driving car.
It was
solid.
Smooth.
Yeah.
You get it out on the open road. It was great. It was very comfortable. So, you know, just I could drive it for a while. So well, the thing is, we had actually traded it in on the Mercedes. And then I went through the paperwork and I found out they were screwing me so bad on it. I'm like, no, you're not taking that car for 12 grand.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and I got it. So got it back and then let one of the kids drive it. So, I mean, that was the thing is that, and then when it died, call the 1-800, I don't know what that song is. I tried to get it out of my head.
K-A-R-S, cars,
oh, God.
Kids.
I actually would turn the channel on the radio when that would come on because it would annoy
for
me.
For the cars,
really?
Cars for kids?
Was that big. I won't start.
Sold it to Cars for Kids initially and took the tax deduction.
Gotcha.
Nice. But no, I really did like that car. That
the
car
Intrepid?
Was, yeah, the Intrepid was a good car.
That's good.
Nothing fancy.
I can't think of that without thinking of the Dodge Stratus.
Yes.
Which then makes me think of the SNL skit.
Yes.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is over the years, all the way the cars have changed and such. And, you know, that's one of the things that I'm struggling with at the moment is that trying to find a car that I really like that excites me and that I've test driven a bunch, but there's nothing that I got in and went, oh my God, this is it. This is the car I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're out there, but also I don't really want to spend 150 grand on a car. That's just
it's
a little
true.
On my price range.
Yeah,
at this
that's
moment.
True. And your car has been great. You have a lot of miles on your car.
Yeah. So we had the Intrepid and then, I bought the Mazda Millennia and then I gave that to my youngest daughter. After I put 160,000 miles on it, I got oil changes every 2 weeks and the guys in the oil change place were like, we're back again. I'm like, yep. Because I covered Wisconsin from Illinois, so I would drive a lot. But it was a very comfortable vehicle. And so I liked the Mazda so much. It was so reliable. I gave it to my daughter, and 2 months later, she totaled it. And then it was in mint condition, too. And so we even laugh about it now.
Shout out to Caitlin. Shout out, Caitlin.
So then I bought the Mazda 6. And so that was in 2009 because I was tired of driving, you know, this.
Man, you haven't bought a new car in what was that, 12 years?
Yeah, 12 years.
That's
so,
wow.
And it's sitting right outside right now. And I just did 200.
Outside of Plymouth Rock somehow.
Exactly.
Thanks for taking it all the way out here to Plymouth Rock.
Exactly.
And it may be snowing, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just crossed 220,000 miles on it.
Right.
Yeah, he had to parallel park it with the Mayflower.
Right,
There's a fantastic video on it, though, if you ever want to check it out.
Shout out to Zach.
Shout out to my own channel.
Exactly.
I'm trying to figure out, because let's talk about cars of today.
Well,
you wanted to talk about cars of today.
I did.
I also really want to find a good car for you.
Well, that's kind of where I have a massive benefit here because if I have anything I'm even remotely interested, like the Porsche Cayenne, it was like, okay, Zach, and what I really like, this is not kissing up, but what I like about your videos, the way you talk about them is the kind of way that I look at it. Mm-hmm. Like if there's too many frickin' buttons in a center console, no, thank you.
Oh my,
I don't need that.
It drove me insane.
Yeah.
If I sneeze and I change three different settings on the car, yeah, it's too much. Yeah. It's just too much. But thank you for saying that. Viewers don't see it. I'm holding a handgun to him. thank you for saying those kind words about me.
Okay, yeah, Zach, yeah, I'll give you better Christmas presents.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because that's coming up soon.
Well, talking about.
Just a few months.
I'm 24 now.
That's true.
At the time of this release.
That was a great birthday, too.
But yeah, it was a great birthday. It was a bad birthday. It was an indifferent birthday. No, the interesting thing about the Porsche Cayenne, I think you can agree with me on this, is that when you get into a Porsche, it's almost like it's like a long-lasting friendship. It's like you're hanging out with someone that you've known forever. You don't really have to – you could just be yourself, right, and like you just get in and you're at one with this other person or in this conversation, a Porsche.
Yeah.
Like every time I drive a Porsche, it feels like it was tailor-built to what I wanted a car to be.
Yes.
The Cayenne did not do that. It felt like a Volkswagen Touareg, of which it's based off of,
right,
with some Porsche parts thrown on it. The V8 was nice. There was a 4.2 V8. It was nice, and it didn't have the dual-clutch transmission, which I would have liked.
Well, so that's one of the things I'm struggling with, too. I don't want a four-cylinder with a turbo. I want at least a six-cylinder. I know.
You're getting slim pickings.
I know. So this is the problem.
You're looking at... Honestly, I really do like modern BMWs, if you can put up with their gaudy front grills. I've always loved the driving experiences of just like a 3 Series.
Yeah.
Although I drove a 330i, 2020 330i, and it was the 2.0 turbo. But they do make a straight six. So you can still find a straight six, but that's going to be more towards up 50 grand area.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, with that, I mean, that would be fine. And, you know, I am actually, it's fortunate because that way, because you drive so many of them, mm-hmm, it's, you also have a good feel for the kind of things that normal people like or dislike in vehicles, because you have to, it's got to have that feel.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when you hit the gas, I don't want to lag. I want it to go.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where this car I've got now, you know, I learned a lot about it, thanks to you. You know, and the 0 to 60, which is, I don't care about top end.
Mm-hmm.
It's 0 to 60 is really where it's
turbos at. Turbos will make up for lack of horsepower. Yeah. Turbos in my mind will never make up for lack of torque, because idling, it doesn't add anything at idle. Turbos only help out at like 2000 RPM, 3000 RPM, higher end. And so that's the biggest thing of like when you drive a muscle car. I just drove a 64 GTO.
Oof.
And you feel it at idle, it's rumbling, and you put it in a gear and you barely have to even give it any gas. It has that torque to just lift you off. You're never going to find that with a four-cylinder turbo. Or I've been driving a lot of three-cylinder turbos.
Yeah.
Like you just don't find that bottom end torque, which is nice about your V6 and your Mazda 6. Right
now. It's great. It's reliable. Six cylinders, it can take my driving, which obviously is kind of tough in that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because, you know, that kind of goes to what we were talking about before, where if you look at cars that are in movies and such, one of the things that they have personalities, which tended to be the older cars.
Mm-hmm.
The older cars had a person.
Herbie, Christine.
The front grills. Yeah. But the other thing is that all those cars that you saw with Herbie and Christine and that, they were cars that you would see on the road.
Yeah.
And so they were just, you know, the Hollywood version of those cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something like you'd look at.
There was a Herbie in every neighborhood, pretty much.
Absolutely.
There was, yeah.
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 You know, and it was, I don't know, it was just, they're a lot of fun. Now the funny thing, you know, that my girlfriend and I laugh about is the fact that my car is a black sedan that can be in any parking lot, and no one would ever.
It's the most invisible car in the world, like our
Pontiac
G6.
Pontiac G6,
silver G6 on black steely wheels
was invisible.
As invisibility cloak as we'll get in the modern age.
So, exactly.
You got it. You know, amazing. You kind of make a statement with a car and that, and it's like, you know, this is just okay. It's been fantastic for me. I can't complain one iota about it. But you know, the thing is, with the next cars, like. You know, also for me, it's been challenging because I have to start considering more of an SUV style versus just. And actually, you know, your SUV is fantastic.
Yep.
Is that considered an SUV?
The CX-5.
Okay. CX-5? Oh, yeah. Did you know that we got a new CX-5?
I do.
That
was bizarre.
A lot of people don't know because our new CX-5, we have a 21. We used to have an 18.
Yeah.
We got in the exact same color with the exact same interior, with the exact same wheels.
Everything was exactly
Why the same. Screw with it?
Yeah.
We were very happy with it. Yeah.
We
you did the video where you were showing the was the radar driving on it.
Yes. I love that.
No, it's both my car and the CX-5 have the radar cruise.
You know what radar cruise control is good for? You know what I'm going to say.
What?
When you're driving.
Hitting fire trucks?
No. No. When you're driving in a funeral procession. It's great for that.
Yo, for real, Grandpa's funeral was a breeze with
it
radar cruise control.
We turned on radar cruise control, and I just literally let the car go because you know how you just crawl along? It's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Come on. More speed, I'm almost there. Yeah. Cool now, got it.
We were sitting in this really
that's a
hideous
golden earring reference.
Yes, that's a,
Radar love.
Radar love.
Yeah.
Man, one of the best songs to drive the RX-7 to.
You
showed me that song a couple summers ago.
That one, and also Lunatic Fringe by Red Rider.
Yes.
Oh, that's another good one,
In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, which amazing
classic,
Phil Collins song.
Oh, ZZ Top.
LaGrange.
LaGrange is one of
the best. Oh, I was thinking of She Don't Love Me, She Love My Automobile.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one by ZZ Top.
But you have to go through the desert or some wide open area and put on either Jesus Just Left Chicago, but to me, you know, it's just ZZ Top, LaGrange, going through a wide open area, and it
just
makes
amazing.
Money for Nothing's a good one.
Yeah. Music that makes you drive fast.
Yeah. Well, it's when you guys were growing up in the truck, we had the B-52s.
Oh yeah,
we would play that over and over.
More of a poppy, like
Planet Claire,
all of that stuff was just. That was just fun stuff. It wasn't like hard driving. It's just fun music to listen to.
Well, and then you had I remember this distinctly. It was a white CD that was just said 007 in blue pen at the bottom.
Nice.
And it was all the 007 theme songs
We had
put onto a CD, and we would listen to that all the time. Yeah. And I remember distinctly, Nick and I used to fight over the middle seat because we got to use the radio. If you sat in the middle seat of the truck, you got to use the radio. But then Nick got old enough to reach the radio from the passenger seat.
Yes, exactly.
So he was like, I'll sit passenger, and he could still reach the radio. And I was like,
got the window and the.
Yeah.
This also goes back to the days when the radio was really important because that was the only music. There were no iPods. You had to listen to whatever. Typically your parents were listening to, which unfortunately for my brother and I, it was country western.
It was Sound of Music, actually.
And Sound of Music in that. But I think one of the funniest stories is that when we were in the Monaco and Eric Clapton song came on, Cocaine, and my dad just flipped. Oh, is he pissed off? He was, I can't believe you're listening to this.
Then
the funny part of it was that he actually met Eric Clapton in a Sky Lounge at Heathrow. And then he thought that was great. It was like, I don't think he put the two together.
Wow.
It was like, no, that dude's the one who wrote that song.
That is
imagine getting frustrated. You ready? Yeah. Over a song.
Well, actually,
imagine getting mad at like 2 minutes of musical instruments and some words.
But that's the thing, is that because somehow he thought that was going to like corrupt us forever.
No, there was so many other things that did that.
Yeah.
The music was the least of the worries.
It was
the childhood depression that did the
one-two punch. Oh, but,
never convicted.
Yes, Your Honor. Never convicted.
But
driving songs now, though, I mean, I definitely do have a good driving playlist, but it's not anything like it used to
it's
be.
It's weird
guitar.
It is weird,
It's strumming of a guitar.
It's too easy now.
Yeah.
Like on Spotify, I've got an MR2 playlist, which was all the songs I played in MR2, but there wasn't the, okay, now I've got to get a cassette, and I got to record this one and figure out how to put all these on there.
Yes.
And just get. or the CD and burning it on the CD. Yeah. And once it burns, not like moving it around.
There is something personal that's getting lost with Spotify is the fact that you guys had cassette tapes with Sharpie scribbled on them.
And we did,
I remember the cassette covers we would do. So what we do is on the cassettes, there was like this little piece of paper that would be the cassette cover. And you could take that out and you would cut another piece of paper the same size. And then you could like do some sort of custom artwork or whatever on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of fun.
Well, I'm grateful. Yeah. I grew up with the G6, obviously. I mean, I drove that thing for, what, 5 years?
You did.
But 160,000 miles on it.
Yeah, between the...
That only had a CD player. It never had an aux cord because it was a bass model.
Right.
And so my friends knew me as having a huge binder of CDs, and I drew on the covers of them.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it was funny because, like, I would find a new song, and then I'd burn an entire new CD of this same as the last CD, but the last two songs are changed.
Which is funny.
And so it was like iterations of the same ones.
I have found tons of those CDs.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's so many.
Actually, I threw away probably about 25 CDs at the Jiffy Lube I used to work at.
Oh,
I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was working there one day, and we didn't have any customers, so I just pulled my own car in and did my own oil change. And I threw
a bunch
of those
Jiffy
CDs. And also, the week...
Yeah.
No, this was the first month that I was dating Bella.
Yes.
I had a CD in my car that was like the saddest, like most depressive
really?
Songs in the world. And I remember I was driving one night.
That's good to prepare you for dating.
Well, no. This was from pre-Bella. So then we started dating, and I was like in such a good mood for this month, I threw it out the window. I threw the CD out the window because I thought I'd never be sad ever again.
Symbolic gesture.
Right.
Symbolic gesture.
Exactly. But then my friends...
Can't do that with Spotify.
Yeah, you can't throw a Spotify playlist out of a window of a moving car.
Like, try slamming your phone down.
And then having two of your other friends who are dating go out on that road, find the CD, put it in, and text me, "Hey, what the heck is on this CD? Why are you so sad?"
Wait, no way.
They went out and found
it.
They went out and found it, and they were like, "What is on this CD?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "We found your sad CD." It was
like,
I wrote sad on it.
Like
I sharpied it all up.
That's like found footage.
Yeah, it's literally
music.
Like that. You can't do that with Spotify anymore.
Your friends are like, "Oh, they were sad." Now, when you do a playlist, you got some artificial intelligence going through like, why was Zach sad on this time?
My friends had a real intimate look at my life finding
Clippy,
my depression CD.
Looks like you're sad. How can I help you?
Clippy,
Windows
shut up.
Clippy? Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that with Spotify.
Yeah, well, that's
so
true.
The other thing is like...
It's the medium is gone.
What I don't like about it is that CD was always going to be what you recorded on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now with the digital stuff is that now all of a sudden a certain word might be taken out of a song.
Yes.
Now a song might all of a sudden disappear out of your playlist.
Exactly.
Like,
or
that's
they
not
change
acceptable.
Album covers all the time.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Well,
okay, so there's another thing. Boy, this is going to date myself. Is album covers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that back in
album
the day,
covers
the
were
artwork,
awesome. The artwork.
1920s, yeah.
Dark Side.
See what I have to put up with.
Yeah,
see
I know.
What I got to do here.
Dark Side
of
the Moon.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Everybody knows what that album
Led Zeppelin,
cover, even
absolutely.
You, or Led Zeppelin
that's,
4.
That's
which,
good, Zach.
I was trying to make you mad, but he went with it.
Hey, Led Zeppelin 4.
Okay.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Shout out to Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon.
Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
We're not going to talk
of the Transformers.
We're not
going to
talk about Transformers.
But no, you've got. Well, like all the album covers and stuff, and you know, if you had a double album, that could be used for other things. But you could also, you know, use that. It was great to put up on the wall.
Yep.
And I took some of the album covers and I put them in a frame, and then I'd hang them on the wall, like the Devo one.
Yeah.
Well,
I loved it.
There was all sorts of inserts and stuff too that you would get with some albums that had like background information because there was
maps.
there was no internet, so you had to get your information somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, it was pretty cool.
You have, like, the Kiss album or whatever, and it would have, like, a Kiss Army sticker in it or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fun stuff,
Well, vinyl did make a little comeback here a little bit.
But
and I do have
different.
Friends who have record collections, but it's, like, if you have a record collection now, it's like, oh, it's like a tongue-in-cheek record collection now.
It's not.
It's like, oh, haha, that's cool because it's old.
Yeah. Well, it's when I worked at a radio station. It was so cool because I had access to the record room, which had everything pretty much that was published.
Now, this might, I'll be honest. I've never put a record onto a record player.
Yeah.
How do you find which song you want to put on?
You
just kind of put the needle?
No, you can see, actually, for some people listening, they probably don't know. There's wider black strips that are on. You can actually see this.
Oh, but, when the songs. Because yeah. in There's movies, they always start it right at yeah. a certain song. And I'm like, yeah. how are you doing that? It's all
the well, same. What I don't understand is how they do the scratching. Like when it came, like when you're doing sampling
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Where you go, yeah. how you know exactly where
Doesn't
that
Doesn't that ruin
is.
The record too?
Yeah,
Doesn't
it that? Absolutely
yeah,
destroys
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, and the needle and everything. Yeah.
Well, the needle is a big thing. Needles mm-hmm. were like $80.
Yeah, needles yeah. were
so,
expensive.
And then you'd have the diamond needle. Yeah. And you'd have to get it at some, like.
Did it really, never dull was the idea behind it?
That
or,
was,
yeah.
And it would have a really crystal clear sound.
Yeah, it would be really super
and
sharp.
And the turntables, you'd have floating turntables. And then you'd have a belt drive turntable.
Yep.
All this stuff. But the whole thing about it, I think for me, was when, you know, obviously you needed to have something different for mm-hmm. a vehicle, obviously. Mm-hmm. But
yep.
so that's
record
kind of
players are hard in a car. Yeah.
There
really
are some that have them, though.
Seriously?
But, yeah, I think it's like retrofits, like just to be weird.
But there's like
I'm thinking of one.
There was 78s also before the 33 and a thirds.
Right.
So you said a lot of numbers that I
exactly.
don't really.
Yeah,
right.
There's a lot of, yeah.
There's it's 78 revolutions per minute. So the original ones that came out were really, really thick.
Oh, okay.
And they were more expensive to produce. Mm-hmm. And they would have to run at 78 RPMs. So you couldn't put a lot of music on it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things.
Fast.
The other part is that with records, you had like your two sides to it, your A side and your B side. And if you're ever really interested in that kind of stuff, look up Monty Python and the Three-Sided Record.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was the most
that was great.
Fun thing that they did.
Yes.
One side.
Interesting.
The way yes. that a record works is that it's a spiral.
Yeah.
And
right.
so you could start the record on one spiral or a second one, and there were
on
two
the
totally
same
different
side. On
yeah,
the same
two wow. totally different tracks.
There was
so.
Two grooves basically next to each other
exactly.
on the same
so.
Side. Really bizarre.
It was bizarre, but it was fun because,
cool,
you know,
yeah.
you're playing
yeah.
with it and such. But yeah, and the, you know, the whole thing with stereo systems and that, now you can get a small stereo system that sounds unbelievable.
Yes, that is
good.
True.
I mean, Bluetooth speakers are nuts these
yeah.
days.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, they are. Yeah.
Which, to
and
the
I'm
point,
grateful for that. I mean, those
oh,
are
yeah.
advances that I think are outstanding.
Yeah,
to the point
agree.
Where the my Blue RX7 doesn't have a head unit, I might just 3D print a bracket for my Bluetooth speaker in the center there.
You could.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, the issue is that we are digging through it. We don't think the wiring is there for speakers. Like, we think it was all pulled out. So we'd have to pull up the carpet to put speakers in, which I will do eventually.
Not,
I'd want
yeah,
to do eventually.
Yeah, you
want to
do eventually.
But
Your cousin wires up vehicles.
Exactly.
Vehicles.
That's right.
But,
yes,
like,
you, yeah.
it's just, like, the issue with that is that it's a 36-year-old car? 36 years old?
Yeah.
The channels may not be.
Well, pulling the plastic parts off.
They might, yeah, be brittle.
They're going to all
right.
snap. I mean, pulling apart the red
true.
Car.
That's true.
Towards the end of, I mean, it was a 14-hour day, but towards the end of it, we were just pull, snap, and we're just like, just
yeah.
let it break.
Yeah.
It's going
yeah.
to break anyway. Just don't even, we pretty much put the tools away at taking apart the interior, and we're just like grabbing
well,
pull.
That is true.
Take
you
a
can...
screwdriver and pop it up.
Yeah.
Or a putty knife or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, stereos in cars have definitely come a long way.
Yes.
Have you ever used a vehicle with Apple CarPlay?
Yes. So I actually have Apple CarPlay in my car.
Oh, right.
I retrofitted, which was good, but I would highly recommend if you can get a Bluetooth version of it, don't use the USB version. I have nothing but problems with, I'll be cruising down the road and, you know, okay, I've got my Waze going, which actually is kind of nice just so that you find out there's a cop ahead or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But the thing about it is that at the worst possible times, it'll just like freeze up mm-hmm. or whatever. And then I got to like reboot the radio and reboot my phone. I don't know which one it is. It's not for my car. It's just not real solid.
Okay.
And but I love the capabilities that it offers up. And the other
that's
thing
nice.
Is that like not having a regular radio anymore.
Yes.
I know that sounds crazy for folks listening, but that's a big deal. Like to me is like because there's nothing to listen to.
Well, and honestly, when we got the new version of our car, it was funny because they said, well, we're going to give you 3 months of XM Sirius radio.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
it.
Yeah, that's what
sorry,
we said.
Sirius.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but we were like, we don't listen to anything on Sirius, and because it's just we don't.
No, I had Sirius for a very long time, and so the problem with Sirius is that they go, like, yes, we have these advertisement free channels. Like, yeah, basically, it's like a radio station playing 70s music, 80s, or whatever. I have Spotify. I can play
a list. Yeah, right. I don't think not Xfinity. Sirius. I don't think Sirius is going to stay around. Howard Stern is really the only person keeping it afloat. Not that I'm a fan of his. I go very back and forth on Howard Stern, but he's like the only person that I can even name that's on Sirius XM. Yeah. That's actually still producing content. I don't know.
But the thing is, there's ads all over that.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't listened. Okay.
In fact, if you go to the TV thing, it won't get too far off. But we get Hulu and Hulu Plus. Regular Hulu's got ads in it.
Yeah.
It's $6 different a month to get it without ads.
Yeah, you're still paying $6 for ads, which is terrible.
Right.
It's so stupid.
No, thank you. Yeah. Well, that was the thing that surprised me because it came in a package. So back to SiriusXM is like, as you pointed out, with every new car, and then they send you these, like, hey, what about this? It's like,
right.
You know, why don't you give me those offers when I actually am using the service?
Yeah.
But of course, they don't ever do that. I think it's very deceptive. It all comes down to licensing and such.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the problems come in. I still have a CD collection. I actually even still have a cassette selection. I have a cassette player that hooks up to my computer. I never use it. But it's kind of cool to have that capability. Because then if you had any of these old custom ones, Gary was really good at making CD covers. And so we went out.
You used to have that little CD cover press thing in your office, blue thing.
Yep.
And you'd put it on a sticker and then you'd go kunk, and it would suck the sticker onto the CD.
Yep.
I remember playing with that as a kid.
And actually, I had to make the sound kunk.
It
doesn't work.
And then I had that printer that would actually print right on the CD.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that was pretty cool. But, you know,
our cars don't have CD players.
Did you
notice that? I hadn't even thought of it, but my Mazda 3, I was looking around and I was like, wait, I don't even have a CD player.
Yeah, the closest thing you can find now to that is a thumb drive. A lot of them still have some
That's
sort of connection
point.
To the thumb drive.
Or
That's,
SD cards, which for the longest time cars kept, not for the longest time, but for a little while, cars kept CD players to load the navigation. You would get a navigation CD, but now it's all SD cards.
So you just
pop the SD card in and you're done.
And it's really hard to read the cover on an SD card.
Oh.
it's really hard to read the little
covers on SD
cover
cards
art.
Aren't
but
quite
cover
as
art
artful.
Is not
yeah.
quite as a full-size album.
I think what you guys were talking about earlier where it's more it used to be more custom, more personal.
Yeah, it was.
And now
it was personal.
It's just so generic. And the other thing is music production is just everything's too perfect.
Yeah.
If you think about going back to Led Zeppelin, we're going to give crap, is that you hear this one like cough, and then it goes right into the music, or it starts winding up. Or Dark Side of the Moon, where they actually had three tape players in the studio, and they had the beginning of the song Money, all the sound effects would go around on a loop.
And the
idea to make that work, if you've never edited a piece of tape with, a splicing block and stuff,
We should have recorded this on tape.
Yeah. Well, we're not far from
there.
That.
We go.
I just want you to know that we are keeping it real. You can hear everything in the background of this podcast,
unedited and unfiltered.
What is it? ASMDMR or whatever?
ASMR. Come on.
ASMR. I don't know.
ABDSM.
I mean, here's the thing. I've said this for years, and it kind of ties into like manual cars and stuff. You have to have the good with the bad. I think if we rid the world completely of anything negative, obviously let's get rid of the big stuff. Let's get rid of wars. Let's get rid of poverty. But like, if you try to make your life only filled with the most positive things in the world, it's not going to be a very fulfilling life because like the reason I say this is like, for me, a CD, but maybe for you guys, a cassette. You guys remember pulling out a CD and you put it in and it has one of your favorite songs on it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, is it skipping? And then it stops and starts playing and you're like, no! that point where you're like, oh, I left it out in the sun and now the CD is
warped.
And
you rub it on your shirt.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
Now Lil Wayne is all wavery in the radio and like, but there's something about that like, it gives you like a, not a callus, but like,
no, it, it's,
it's just a part of life that's now it everything's too perfect. It's too clean. It's over sanitized.
You have to struggle for stuff to appreciate it.
Right. And same that's goes exactly with a manual right. car of like,
yeah,
manual cars. When you have a stomach ache, a manual car is the worst thing in the entire world. I've told this story before, I believe, but I was on a certain
road.
Could
be the way
time.
You drive it too. But...
wow. Okay. Wow. He nailed you on that one.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
fine. Hey. I was in my RX-7, and I was at my friend's house that was about 30 minutes away, and we were, you know, drinking, eating, you know, having a good time, and obviously not drinking too much, and but you know, it was a good night, and I get in my car to come home, and all of that I'd eaten and drinking starts culminating in my stomach, and I'm in the RX-7, and then I was on a dark U.S. Road. And I was trying to think of it wasn't an interstate, but it was like a 2-lane road.
Okay.
I don't want to give away specifics. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to explode this current second.
Yeah.
So I dumped my car from 5th to 3rd and I punched it to get home in time. And I parked I did about 110 on a very popular road here in town.
A dark desert highway. Cool, on a dark desert highway.
Yeah. I parked the car running in the driveway. I think I might have been on the front lawn and ran inside.
Yeah.
Driving stick shift sucks when you have a stomach ache. It's like bicycle kicks, and you're like, I'm prairie dogging, and it's just terrible.
Or traffic.
But
traffic. Yeah.
On the flip side, because it sucks so bad in traffic, when you get out on an empty road and you go from 5th. Rev match down into 4th, rev match down into 3rd, and you punch it? Oh, man. Is there anything better?
That's where the 9/11. I don't think so. It was like between 4 grand and 7 grand was beautiful sweet spot that was just like, oh.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's son's, his M3's got a 2006 M3.
E46?
And that's exactly, yes. Oh, it's gorgeous. And he takes such great care of it. When he pops that thing, it's just like, bam.
The E46 M3, very interesting car because I reviewed one very early on in my review career. It must have been sub 50 of like number of cars that I drove. And this was my friend's dad's car. I don't even know if he knew that I did a review, but his son was like, take the car. So I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And it revs like a rotary in the fact that it just keeps going and going and going. You feel like you're like, I should shift. But it feels like I don't have to.
Right.
It's just like it will – if it didn't have a rev limiter, I literally said this in one of my reviews recently, it would just rev to the moon. It would just keep going forever and ever and ever.
It's just amazing.
It doesn't die off at the top. It's not like,
wow,
okay, you should probably shift because we're not really accelerating anymore. It's no, it just keeps going. And I felt so comfortable in that car. Yeah. Having driven it for 5 minutes, I was like – oh, I've owned this car for the last 18 years. Like, I felt comfortable.
Wow.
Each gear, smooth. I love the E46 M3s.
But now the flip side is that I enjoy also the fact that with my car, it will compensate for my stupidity.
Yeah.
Is that like, okay, so I'm – because you can do it kind of a stick shift kind of. It's got you kind of slap it off to the right or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can downshift and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you try to downshift too hard, it'll go like, yeah, no, we're not going into first gear. We're going to take it down to third. And then if you get down lower, then I'll put it in a second.
See, my Mazda 3, 2019 all-wheel drive, shout out. it has the plus minus, which I use a lot for engine braking. Like coming off the highway, I'll just minus, you know, to try to scrub off some speed. But it has never denied me a shift, which I absolutely love. Now, I'm not putting it first on the highway, but like I was coming off the highway pretty hot, and I was up in 6, and I clicked it twice down into 4th, and it went, it almost redlined itself. Like I almost pinged the motor.
Wow.
And it was like, no, but it did. It didn't deny me, which I love. The Pacifica will deny most of
completely.
Your shifts.
Yeah, everything.
It's
everything.
Like if you shift up, it's like,
maybe.
I don't think so.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it.
We just don't think this is a good
one. The other cylinders, we're not doing it.
You know, I talked to 3rd and 4th gear.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's not a place for you.
We
looked over your resume.
Right.
You know, we just don't think you'd be a good fit.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many job interviews have you been on where, like, we don't think you're going to be a good fit?
Yeah.
It's just not a good fit.
Too many.
Shut
up. Too many. So Yes, the Pacifica will deny you.
G6, you couldn't constantly manually shift at all. Yeah. It was like, yeah, we decide.
Yeah, right.
You could put it into L, which was low, which was technically first gear. Yeah. So if you're trying to pull something, you could put it in the low.
Okay, but you didn't have much there.
Which I did a time or two. And then I forgot it was in L, and it actually didn't shift out of L. I was coming around by Wendy's up here, and I didn't realize I put it into L instead of drive.
Yeah.
And I was driving, and I was like, oh.
Well, you know, driving in the mountains, if you don't know how to downshift, you could lose your life.
That is true. That is true. Really is when I went out there in the RX-7, I was scared to death. I drove probably 3 miles an hour on certain roads.
Yeah.
Because it was scary.
My car has 20,000 miles, and we're going out to Denver in June. Mm-hmm. We already went out to Denver. It was great.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great time.
It was so great to have you at the house.
Thank you. Thanks for hosting us.
Absolutely.
Okay. The million-dollar party was a bit much, but I was thankful for the hookers and blow. But
we had a great time.
You're not going
to had a lousy time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't do the scrubs.
Why didn't you come out?
All our bases are covered.
It was the best of times. It was the worst
but
of times.
My car is 20,000 miles, and I told the dealer, I'm like, I'd like new brakes on this car. And they're like, it has 20,000 miles. And I'm like, I'm going to Colorado. I want brand new brakes.
Well, you have to.
I want the best because they are slightly warped.
See,
because
here's
I may
thing.
Or may not have driven on a road and slammed the brakes doing 100.
Whatever.
But like,
so, yes. But you know, you said that was the funny thing is you said you felt the wobble.
Oh, yeah. I was like, these brakes are warped. And they're like, okay, we'll take a look at them. And they're like, this is the most slight warping we've ever noticed.
They got the micrometer out. They got the micrometer out.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the micrometer out. They're like, are you sure these are warped? I'm like, 100%. And they're like, oh, I guess they are a little. And I'm like,
it was a good thing you did that because when we took you up to Mount Evans, that was pretty intense, 14,000 feet. You don't want to lose your brakes.
Yeah, that's
no.
Bad.
You really should.
Definitely
it was a good thing that you did.
Honestly, I might drop like $500 bucks and just do rotors and pads. At least on the front, backs are probably fine. But going downhill,
trust me,
rotors are going to be glowing.
The fact that you did that in the past, was a great idea.
Thanks,
and I'm glad I encouraged you many months ago. To do that before.
Yeah, we went up to Guanella Pass, which was outstanding. That's another base of a 14er. And shout out to Colin.
Colorado.
On the way down the mountain, you could smell the brakes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Colin was a little nervous.
What were you in?
I was in my Mazda 6.
Okay.
And I knew that I had to do a full brake job when one time I was coming down the mountains and the car shimmied as I was. I started taking there's two different ways you can come down the mountain. One, it's hilarious because the signs are like, oh, you're not done yet. There's still a 4% slope ahead.
Yeah.
The reason why they do it is mainly for the trucks. And you see the runaway truck ramps and all that stuff.
Yes.
So,
this stuff. Then you see the people sledding on in the wintertime. And it's like, all right, you know what?
That's not
selection right there. If you're sledging on a truck off ramp. Come on.
That would be bad.
I've seen pictures, but
I wouldn't do that there, no.
Yeah.
No. Jeez. Yeah.
But I have seen one of the trucks go into one of those.
Have you really?
Yeah. And basically the truck drops about, all the way down to the base of the cab and the trailer, because that's the whole thing is that it's basically you drive like into sand and it's these blocks that just kind of drop out. So it's the same. It's similar to what they did at Midway Airport when
collapsible concrete, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you can walk on it, but like if a 747 puts its tire on
drops.
It gives out.
Yeah, so but in some of the ones like just past the Eisenhower Tunnel, what they'll do is that there's this giant it's more like a gravel type thing, but it goes like straight up but the thing is it's built to just kind of let the truck drop into it. It's not going to, you're not going to roll back. There's no way you're going to roll back.
Which makes sense. But one thing that I've picked up from like reviewing so many cars and owning so many terrible cars, is that I do have a newfound skill, not newfound skill, but a skill of keeping a car running and alive long enough to complete the journey. So
that's actually a very big skill because, it's important to know, you're having problems with it, how you can kind of feather the accelerator sometimes. Yeah. I don't even want to call it a gas pedal anymore because God knows it's not even connected to anything.
Yeah. But fly-by-wire. I forget what I was reviewing, but my friend was like, sometimes, you know, if the car like feels like it's going to die, like just feather the gas a little bit. And I'm like, I know. I've kept my RX-7 alive in the cold at stoplights for multiple years. Yeah. Yes, people stare at you of like, why are you revving? And I'm like, ma'am, I'm just trying to get home. Please stop looking at me.
Yeah, we used to have to take the air filter off. Or to get it started, you'd like dump gas down into the car.
Yeah, a little bit of ether never hurt anyone.
Yeah.
But again, there you go.
It's a skill.
You know, but you have the today's technology, which is awesome because you can drive up from sea level to 14,000 feet and not think about it at all.
Right.
And it runs just great. Whereas before, if you would have done that, you'd been sucking.
Oh, with a carburetor, you'd be pulling over. You'd have your little screwdrivers out, adjusting the floats.
So, you know,
I'm very curious. I was very curious to see how my car performed up in the mountains.
Actually,
naturally aspirated.
You seemed pretty surprised when we got up there, and you noticed how well that it ran. I mean,
I was very disappointed. I was very surprised.
Are we somewhere in the notes going to explain why we're saying things like this?
No, why?
Jeez.
I want the dogs. We're pre-recording this.
Yeah,
this is not.
I want people to understand that we're pre-recording.
Yeah, we are pre-recording this. I'm sorry to break the illusion, but this is not actually being filmed in November of 2020.
We're filming.
Breaking the fourth wall.
in podcast.
It's not actually being recorded in November. This is actually what is today.
That's true. This is the rare breaking the fourth wall in a podcast.
Pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
Today's April 21st.
Today's April 21st, so we're not even close to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I hope the world's still together.
Yeah, I hope so.
But you know what?
This may be the only podcast left.
Ooh, do we want to make celebrity death
predictions?
Do a Deadpool?
We could.
Do a Red Book kind of thing where you...
Yeah, I was going to say, is it? Prince, what's his face?
I think Prince Philip will die this year. I'm going to do all the retroactive.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Interesting. There's no death. I can't think of any celebrities.
What about... Is Betty White still around?
Yeah.
So maybe she's up there.
Well, that one's pretty easy.
Come on. It's not betting the house on that one.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
I was going to say Arnold bites it in the next game.
Really? That's like your
really?
Guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call you when that happens. Are you going to be okay?
I don't know what it's like about. Well, he's got that, you know. That pig stint in his heart. So,
does he? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, he does. He rides his bike every day and all that stuff. So.
I'm thinking a U.S. president is going to bite it. A previous U.S. president.
Oh, yeah. Carter, duh.
Carter was still around. What's he doing?
Not much.
Yeah, he's just hanging.
So let's see. We don't know.
Let's just make this most poorly aged podcast ever.
And I think, who else?
Wow, this economy is so great.
It is.
Wow, this economy is so terrible. Wow, we have the same economy. All right, base is covered.
Yep, that's exactly why we're doing this.
So, I'm so glad COVID's over. I can't believe COVID's still going on. I can't believe it's unchanged.
Yeah, I can't believe
sound clip whatever you want in here.
Exactly.
So
we're pretending.
Actually, I think we ought to do this like the old video game that used to be when we were in high school.
You choose the adventure.
Where you choose the adventure.
Yeah.
So you choose the podcast.
The Oregon Trail?
No, but that was a good one, actually. my kids liked that one.
That was going to say.
The run of the Oregon Trail.
Wow. That's
dysentery,
dating you.
2 seconds.
That's dating you because that was after us.
Well, and that's
okay.
Dragon's Lair.
Sorry, electronic football? Is that what we're talking about here?
The magnetic one? Nothing but awesome.
I only know about magnetic football or not electronic football from the movie Super 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not a car movie, but great film by J.J. Abrams.
It is a
great
film.
It takes place in the late 70s, 78 or something.
I want to say 78.
About an alien in a small town.
What was electronic football doing in that?
I don't know. Oh, it was just like a side joke.
Yeah,
because they broke into the school and they're like, I wonder if this teacher still has my electronic football he took away.
Yeah,
they're breaking into the school for plans.
We're talking about two different types of electronic football, though.
There was another electronic football.
You're talking about the handheld game.
Yeah.
No, this is the vibrating.
No, this
is the magnetic things.
Yeah.
You have the magnetic.
Oh. I want to bring that back. By the way, I think that would be a great thing.
And the hockey one.
And the hockey.
Oh, I've played the hockey one,
but without the dome. You don't have the dome.
That's
your wuss.
No, that's
you want to be able
no
flip...
shout. No shout out to the dome.
No,
you
want
to be able to flip the puck out against.
Yeah,
and then you go down
that.
There and you kind of hook your little the little sticks, and then you want the best puck that they had. Would have this puck, but it had like a ball bearing in the middle of it.
Silver ball in the middle of what looked like a tire.
And then typically it would always find its way to the one point in the rink that
no one could touch it. Yeah.
There was only like 3 or 4 points.
And then, then you'd have to like flick it out with your finger and stuff like that.
This is the game podcast now.
I know. This is the unnamed game podcast.
Scrabble.
I'm trying to think of other games that you guys would know.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, I know.
But no, we had some.
What was it?
Yeah, first Pong.
Tetris.
We had the mechanical Pong game. I am not joking.
Wow.
Yeah. You remember that?
I do remember it. It was basically.
Ooh, wasn't it just called tennis?
No. Well, so our uncle had the original Pong, like the real Pong game, because we were too poor for that.
Right, we were too poor.
But what that one was
shout
awesome
out to,
because.
To poorness.
Exactly. Yeah. There was like 6 games you could play.
Yeah.
The only problem was it was the same game.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about this the other night.
It's table tennis. It's ping pong.
Yeah.
It's hockey.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not any of that.
Yeah.
So, no, the one that he's talking about was actually like a stick that had a spring.
Yes.
And then it had like a flashlight.
Those go for money now. I wonder if there's like a used market.
That would be big money.
That would be. So there was a machine. There was an actual mechanical motor inside this thing.
Yeah.
And the light would... The light would project at the end of the stick would project through the projection, and it looked like a little ball of light.
Yeah,
but it was really just the ball on the end, or it was a light on the end of the stick, and the stick literally was on springs and a mechanism that allowed it to go back and forth in front of the screen.
Yeah,
and you were literally. It was a mechanical game.
Did Matthew Broderick play it and then start a war accidentally?
I think so.
It was called Whopper. Yeah, it was called Whopper.
Like play a game.
Yeah. So no, it was that was crazy. But how did we even get into this?
Shout out to Matthew Broderick because he gets confused with John Cryer.
Is he gonna die this year?
You know, looking
Ooh,
at
Matthew Broderick?
Broderick.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. But you can call it if you want to.
Who else is? I'm Will Ferrell.
Really?
Will Ferrell.
And I base that on nothing.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Great.
All right.
Excellent.
I'm fair.
Okay.
I love you, Will. But,
yeah.
I even say, what musician? Who's got it? The problem is that my musicians now are getting up there a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they're geriatric anyway.
I would say.
You know, ever since Rolling Stones did the Steel Wheelchair Tour, that was.
Steel
Wheelchair.
Dad, who did you see? That was real depressing to watch up on. Didn't you see, not Led Zeppelin. Didn't you? No.
Oh, he's getting
the
Led Zeppelin concert
tonight. That was, kind of depressing to see.
Yeah,
Blondie
was
really
not
depressing.
The B-52s. We saw the
B-52s
together, and it was a very lit concert.
I loved that concert. That was one of my favorite things to do. Because
they were definitely very old. It was obvious that they weren't in their prime,
yes,
but it was fun because the crowd was old, too.
Yes, and you grew up on those songs in the truck, on the CD. We're circling back to the whole CD.
Well, that's a good point, is that I think maybe that's part of why it's so interesting, is that... You know, you grow up with these songs and stuff.
Yep.
And a lot of times back in the day, before music videos, before, you know, had electricity, you had no idea what the people looked like.
Yeah.
So, like Ballroom Blitz, Sweet, or whatever, before, you know, Motley Crue did, you had no idea what that group looked like. And when you would see them, it was like they never matched up with what you thought they looked
this
like.
This is really bothering me. What concert did you go to? I think it was at... The concert, just down the road here.
It had to be, kind of the festival kind of
concert.
And the festivals, that's one of the things that's kind of scary, because when you go to a festival concert nowadays, as you know, you point out, it can be depressing, actually.
Yeah, it was someone that,
I
want to
say it was like, who
Sammy
did
Hager?
You know, the guy in the thing who sings. The guy who sings.
Wasn't it
the guy who
sings? We talked about their songs. It was Sharp Dressed Man, ZZ Top.
ZZ Top.
Yeah, didn't you see ZZ Top? And it was
I did, and it was very depressing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was, yes. And it was depressing because they were like so walkers and lethargic. Yeah. I mean, the music actually sounded lethargic.
Which is really strange. Crazy, because, like, dress, man,
Yeah, it is. It is crazy.
There was 8 pee breaks during it too. It was crazy.
Where mostly they just stood there with a weird look on their face, and it was the Depends.
The groupies, because everything is now sponsored by
this
Depends. Break. Sponsored by
the groupies. Don't they don't throw their bras on stage anymore? They throw Pampers.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
Pampers. They throw Pampers. Tennis balls with the slits cut in them for
already,
the walkers.
Yeah. For the
What are those hard candies that no one knows where they come from, but
Werther's?
They just end up in Werther's original. No one ever, purchased a
Starlight
Werther's original.
Mints? Oh, no, it's pretty true. Although our grandparents used to have licorice. Remember the licorice?
Yeah, it was black licorice.
Black licorice.
Which
it was horrible.
Sucked.
Is there a point where it turns and then you like black licorice?
No.
Is that like when you get
I don't
up
think
on
you
life
ever
like
I don't
licorice.
Think anyone ever likes it. I think
it's
our grandparents
who's accepted
hated us.
Their like incoming death and they're like, all right, black licorice.
All
for
right,
me.
We're just
maybe it's a cry for help. Maybe people who like black licorice are just like, I want someone to notice that I'm not doing well.
I think it's a
it's like leaving your pack of cigarettes out on the table
help,
and you're like, someone noticed this so they can yell at me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a cry for help, the black licorice.
Yeah, it is. I think hard candy, black licorice, that kind of stuff is nasty.
Well, because like grandma and grandpa, mom's parents, they just have these bowls of hard candies.
Do
it looks
still?
Like a strawberry. Yeah, no. It looks like a strawberry.
Yes.
Like the wrapping of
it. Yes.
I've never seen that in a single store ever.
No.
I don't know where these are produced. I don't know who's buying them or where.
There's a special store.
But they have bags
of
them.
There's a special store for people that get older that it's just the candy you can't find anywhere else.
Yeah. It's just like an old person store.
It is. It's the old person store.
They sell the perfume that every old person smells like.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have hard candies.
Yeah.
And they sell fake... hearing aid batteries because none of them ever work apparently.
I don't know where these guys get Old Spice still, but somehow the old guys really enjoy it.
It's old. It's not like new Old Spice. Like I have Old Spice
old
like Seabreeze.
There's like a whole bunch.
We're talking
of, like,
about like Old
talking
Spice.
The OG.
Like, yeah.
OG.
Yeah, like melted wax Old Spice.
What?
Old Spice. OG.
Yeah. Like if you leave it in a room, like it turns into a solid.
Did you
kind
know
of
for the longest time at our parents' house in the basement, in the bathroom, in the basement was a bottle of High Karate.
What is High Karate?
I never used that.
Really?
I think someone else did.
That it was. That
it wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
If you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
Oh man,
what you're talking about. Yes. So
wasn't me.
Nope,
wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
Can we just get a group?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Hello.
So, anyway, but yeah, I remember
What's High Karate?
High Karate was huge.
Is that like the Karate Kid?
No. That was a fragrance. It was a clone. It was a clone.
And the commercials were extremely sexist.
Oh, gosh.
The guy would put it on, he would have to fight off the women with his karate chops.
Yes,
oh, wow. Okay.
Because they were drawn to him.
Because they were drawn, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's something that, like in later times, Axe body spray should be sued for false advertising.
Well, it's very similar, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Axe is kind of the follow-on to High Karate.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but when I was growing up, Axe body spray, like 2010, 2011, 2009, Axe body spray was like the thing. That and Five Gum.
Oh, yeah,
the
Five
old,
Gum.
Like, stimulate your senses, whatever.
Tea
point where, like,
the what?
T-berry gum.
Seabury.
Oh, God. But kids used to take Axe body spray and they duct tape the sprayer and throw it into the boys' locker room. And, there was actual kids that would douse themselves in Axe body spray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it got so insane when Axe body spray really jumped the shark was when they had a chocolate-scented body spray. This is real. You can Google it. Or Bing it. And there was a body spray that was chocolate.
Chocolate.
But that was also during the phase where, like, everything was bacon in 2011.
That is true.
There was bacon mints. There was bacon.
There was bacon.
Bacon T-shirts. We got one of our other cousins a stuffed piece of bacon that would talk to you.
Yes.
And it would say, "I'm bacon."
Yes.
What would it say? It was a high end bacon, or it was like, and then the cover said something. You have a friend.
It's
in
starting
need.
To sound like a Gaffigan.
Yeah. Well. So.
Bit.
So
or bacon stuff bacon.
So the, I don't know.
So the good thing is that we never go off track or off topic.
We've
of
stayed on cars this entire time. This
talking
is, it's
about
a Thanksgiving
talking
episode.
Bacon.
You know, people are listening when they want to get away from their families.
Yeah.
So come on over
That's
to our
right.
family where we're just as annoying,
yes.
just as
Absolutely,
loud, just as
yeah.
sidetracked.
Absolutely.
Except we're actually all sober right now, which,
yeah, which is
probably
crazy.
Can't be said about your own family.
And we're not exactly full. I'm, you know, I could eat
the
some
trip
more.
To fan hasn't kicked in the quite yet.
You know, we should have recorded this after a big dinner.
Yeah.
And then just, it would be a 6-hour podcast, but about 2.5 hours in, we would just trail off into comatose. And then it's six yeah. hours of just, what?
And you would hear
waking up,
you would hear a TV, but quietly out in
exactly.
in the background, you'd hear a quiet TV
yeah.
in the background.
Make sure to check back for our Christmas special. It's going to be quite an extravaganza, as well as New Year's, where we'll be going back and reviewing all the deaths, geez. Celebrity
yes.
deaths throughout the
yeah,
year.
Or it's a football game on the TV of two teams that are like thousands of miles away from your hometown.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's just
and no
on because it's
yeah,
Thanksgiving,
no
and apparently people watch football
whatsoever.
On Thanksgiving for some
it's
reason.
Like the...
And there's no one in the stands.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like
Or maybe
the,
there were this year. We don't yeah. know.
It's like
And the stands were full.
And the stands were empty. And the stamps were moderately filled.
Stamps.
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 New word. Well, actually, you don't know. In late July of 2021, stamps actually becomes very, very popular in the youth lexicon. So I'm actually
wow, I
yeah,
totally
stamps is
you're right.
put it in the
okay,
red book.
No. You're very old to,
I am
to not
very
say
old.
Stamps now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm not with it. I'm
not
with this
not
current
no.
time that
you're
we
not
are
down.
Now. We're not, yeah, in this current time that we are now in.
Down with the sickness.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually listened to that song unironically the other day on the way to work. Went through a big Disturbed kick.
So have you listened to it ironically?
Yeah, because that was like a big joke because that song was one of the first songs that YouTube let you use on YouTube. So
was it really?
Everyone's montage.
Really?
Everyone's Halo 3 epic fails montages was to that Down With The Sickness or Bodies Hit The Floor.
Wow, that's pretty
wild.
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
That is wild.
It became like a big like meme with my age.
Like, I use that for my music. It was part of the music for my first bodybuilding show.
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't?
Which was when?
Which
Disturbed.
Was?
2003.
Like, okay, so that was unironically.
Yes.
But
right.
like growing
yeah.
up, like it became a very ironic song of
yeah.
like a kind of like a tongue-in-cheek listening to
well,
it.
Well, that's, I mean, you go back to a lot of music. Yeah, you're right. There's
yeah.
a lot of stuff that was like that. That you listen to later and just kind of go, what were they thinking?
If you're listening or if you want new songs, Disturbed does a cover of The Sound of Silence. You know that song?
I have heard this.
It's so good.
It's
on my current playlist right now.
Really? Hello, Darkness,
My
Old Friend?
Yeah, but it's
done
by Disturbed.
Okay.
And his voice goes so low. It's real cool. Yeah. So if you're looking for new music, there you go. By now, I guess it's old music.
Yeah, that's right, because...
Why are you eating the microphone? What
no,
are you doing?
I'm trying to find a good position.
You know what's
I'm
funny
actually,
is that microphone yeah. reminds me of the outdoor theaters where you would put the thing on
yeah.
your window.
No, really, very,
and
very
how
similar.
Many times after a couple of road pops, I would pull out of the theater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, at drive-in movie theaters?
Yeah.
You
hook
used
it on
to
your
have
window?
One
yeah, yeah.
in the basement,
I
and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I never
I really
hooked
wouldn't.
It up to anything, though.
No, but I thought that was the coolest thing.
It's kind of
no,
fun.
I'm trying to get the right sound out of this microphone because you can't see this, obviously, but we don't have a ton in our studio here at Plymouth Rock. We don't have a ton of, like, equipment.
Yeah, we had to pack up quick coming out here.
I like the studio name Plymouth Rock, though.
Plymouth Rock? Yeah, that's actually
rocks.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
Plymouth Rock.
And Plymouth.
Plymouth with a car.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Plymouth Fury,
the
shout
yeah,
out.
Plymouth,
the car
right.
that ruined
oh
my
God.
Childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Fury
is amazing car.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed our Christine episode for Halloween.
Right. No, but this microphone, I just wanted to explain, this microphone is actually your great-grandfather's microphone. Mm-hmm.
And wants it back.
That's our Halloween special
yeah,
right there.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh. We try to conjure the spirits of our relatives to talk about movies.
That would be a bad idea.
Imagine like going through like a ghost. I'm sure talking to people like humans is really hard as a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine going through all that pain and you're like,
yeah.
we're
like,
going to talk about Ghostbusters now.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be
really
sucky.
Pulled me from the afterlife for this.
For this, exactly.
To talk about Ghostbusters 2 and
I
the
was
pink
in a,
slime.
I was
come
in
on,
a cribbage exactly. game with Elvis, and you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. The Ghostbusters car was so good, though.
Oh, the X. What are we at recording wise?
We are at 1 hour 52 minutes and 12 seconds.
So let's start to wrap up if that's possible.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Fine.
We're getting the rap sign.
Finally, yeah,
the music is starting.
Let's talk about our favorite movie cars just to end out.
Favorite movie cars. Holy cow. There's
that's
a ton.
We're also going to Midwestern goodbye this. So if you're listening,
yeah, exactly.
You're like, hey, wait. This is only halfway through. Boom. We know and we're sorry.
Midwestern. Midwestern goodbye for those people that don't know. It's a goodbye. That
when you
forever.
Say goodbye, you stand up and
yep.
then you talk about
yep.
what you're doing that
yep,
week.
Yep, yep, yep.
And you stand in the doorway
yep.
and then
goes
you continue
10 minutes,
the conversation in the driveway and then you continue the conversation when that person's in their car.
It's
goes
a sign
on
of endearment.
Yeah, it is a sign of endearment.
Yeah.
You can really tell when people are not from the Midwest because they're like yeah, my friend is from
later.
Russia and she goes, all right, I'm heading out. And we're like, oh, okay, see you. And then she walked out. Can
wow.
you
what kind of a sicko is that?
Shit of a gun. Wow.
She literally
rude.
Said goodbye and left.
Yeah, wow.
It was insane.
That's crazy.
But favorite movie cars?
Batmobile.
Yeah, you know, Batmobile is
which
one of my
one?
Well,
the
okay, actually, no, you're, that's a good point. As soon as it came out of my mouth,
okay, yeah.
yes, no, from the TV show, Batmobile.
Yes.
Based off of the Lincoln, it was a concept car by Lincoln, and then
yeah,
George
was.
Barris was like,
yeah.
repaint it black.
Right.
And
that's
then
kind
they,
of
had to,
yeah.
they had to put the
yeah.
highlights on it.
Futura,
because,
Lincoln
yeah.
Futura. Lincoln
yes,
Futura.
The Futura.
Yes,
yeah.
Which I actually learned from Bella's 9-year-old brother.
Really?
Because he was like, I want a toy of the Lincoln Futura. And I'm like, that's not a car, you little idiot. And then
yeah.
he showed me up, and I was
yeah.
like, wow.
Wow.
I was thoroughly
yeah.
impressed.
Crazy.
So that is that is one of my very favorites. That's such a cool-looking car. And
yeah.
That was, like, the best.
Did, in fact, the thing is, the other, you know, Batmobiles and stuff, they got a little too crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't like the...
There was the one with, like, the turbine in the
yeah.
front of it. Yeah,
yeah, I don't like that.
I will actually even agree the new Batmobile is not good. The Tumbler or whatever,
no.
that military one, it had like kind of an okay backstory and it was kind of cool, but it's not
yeah.
it's not fun to look at. It's a
no.
piece
no.
of equipment.
No.
The Batmobile from the 60s, that's a cool, fun car to look at.
Yeah.
You but know, that goes back to the whole thing about having character.
Well,
true,
and
yeah.
you know, the new Batman that's coming out, the new Batman, maybe it's already out, I don't
yeah.
know, it's a Prius. It's a Toyota Prius. No, it's a. I have no
our
idea.
It's weird when
our battery's dead.
I was going to say they have to stop the fight halfway through and find a Meijer or a Whole Foods
a
that has a charging station out front.
And that goes to the whole thing, and someone will listen to this at some point, and it'll be crazy because it won't make any sense. But the thing is, like the torque, we're talking about torque way mm-hmm. back there. The torque on these new Teslas
insane.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's immediate.
It is.
There's
yeah.
no.
It's so insane.
No,
but
yeah.
at the same time, the thing's quiet.
Yeah.
So you don't
yeah.
get that.
All you hear is tires.
Yeah.
All you hear is
yeah.
the tires. And it's so insane that when I went to go review the P100D, the Performance Model S,
okay.
it was I drove a couple hours to go film it. And the morning I showed up, Tesla had, for the owner, downloaded a new drive mode that was called Chill. And you put it into chill mode,
really?
And when you mash the pedal, it goes, it like it's real slow. It
okay.
like numbs the car completely
yes.
because he was an older gentleman so that owned the car.
Okay.
So if you touch the gas, you're not going a million miles an
right.
hour in
yeah.
the first second.
Yeah.
Well, if you had a new driver too, that
yeah,
would be
true.
And you can
yeah,
lock
definitely,
it into
yeah.
chill
yeah.
mode, which is
okay.
nice, and it accelerated just like the G6. Honestly,
okay. So other car,
right?
Other cars. So. Ecto-1.
Ecto-1, 100%.
100%. And I always loved ambulances. I almost bought an ambulance,
mm-hmm.
almost the same, seriously, the same size.
Oh, I believe
I
it.
Love
that's
ambulances.
Why I'm smiling.
Yeah.
No one can see it, but yeah, that's...
There's
yeah.
that house in town that has that ambulance parked out front
yes.
all the time,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
But
I
not
drove
that
by,
one.
No, but I drove by there
the
today.
Fire station?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's all these burly
it,
guys
right.
hanging out
yeah,
out
it's,
front.
Yeah, it's
and
red. And
they got some big
like,
red pickup trucks,
red,
too.
Yeah,
exactly. I was washing it.
No, there's
right.
a house in town that has an ambulance there. But today,
yeah.
it was a orange Volkswagen 70s bus.
Really?
In place
okay.
of the...
Wow.
Well, I almost
shout
bought...
Shout out whoever that guy is. I
like
need to knock on his door.
60s mm. Cadillac ambulance is
yeah,
almost
the Cadillac
yeah.
Really, really cool.
Ghostbusters
I just
really cool.
I think ever since when I was a kid, I had a Hot Wheels. No, it was a Corgi.
Probably Corgi, yeah.
It was a Corgi of a BMW ambulance.
BMW?
Yes.
Ambulance.
I know exactly which one it was.
It was very, like, bubbly and
very
rounded.
Bubbly is the right word.
Yeah. And I loved that ambulance. It was, like, the coolest car to me.
Was it white and blue?
It was. Was it?
Yeah. Was it white and blue?
It was definitely white. I don't know if it was blue. It was definitely white.
I don't know blue parts of it. Yeah. I had one little bubble on the top.
Yes, it did.
The light.
I know that we have that, like, gumball container. It's actually up in my room of all your old toys.
What, the police cars?
Yeah, okay. All right, fine.
Oh, yeah.
No, George is getting mad at me because I used to
squashing beef here on the Unnamed Movie Car Podcast. 40-year-old beef.
He started doing chops on the police cars, chops on everything. They never come back together, but that's how you learn.
So when I was growing up, yes, I used to take everything apart.
But what about the AFX track?
Oh, the AFX track.
Now there's a good example of we had the AFX track, the original stuff.
Yeah.
It had little magnets or the little strips that would go along the track.
Yep.
And then the G Plus came out. And G Plus sucked.
Yeah, they got better.
You could actually take a rubber band and put it around the controller as fast as it could go. And it would just zip around the track. Yeah. Like, well, that's not fun. You know,
there was no skill to driving a G Plus car. They were
slot cars now.
We're talking slot cars. And so that was one of those things where technology and advancements sucked.
It ruined
the fun of the game. So I mean
we're even seeing that with like modern video games.
Call
of Duty and stuff. It's so easy now that it's I'll play it for like 15 minutes and then I'm like, let's do some other stuff.
Well, it's especially easy when you play me because you kill me every single time.
My dad has this bone to pick with me since I was like 8 and I beat him in Halo.
No, you would constantly, whenever I respawned, you'd immediately pop me in the head and you'd be like, okay, done. Okay,
how are you
going to
get any better if I go easy on you, Dad?
Oh, jeez. I'm like, you know, that's no fun.
Yeah.
How is he going to get any better if you don't want to play?
Yeah, jeez. Okay. All right. So
two sides of this argument.
Exactly.
We used to play Gears of War 2 together because we'd be on the same team.
That was always fun.
And then
fun.
It was always just endless enemies that we would shoot and chainsaw in half.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was more fun.
What was the one with the Nazi zombies?
Call of Duty.
Was it Call of Duty?
That was great.
That was fun. I used to love that.
I dream about the nights of playing that game, staying up late with my friends.
It was scary and fun. It was a great game.
So fun.
I do remember, we could do a whole
if we go back to the cars, Fast and Furious, for me, like, I know Tokyo Drift is like the one everybody's like, oh, you can't like that movie.
No, but in my generation, that is put up on a pedestal.
Oh, okay.
Tokyo Drift is like
pedestal.
Because in my mind, that scene where they're drifting up the ramp, the parking ramp.
Yeah.
Oh, in the 350Z.
Freaking believable.
It's a 350Z and an S15 Silvia. I know the scene you're talking about. Very good one.
But the problem is getting out of those movies.
Yeah.
You drive like a jerk. You can't help it.
Yeah.
It's like
one of the best cars in that movie that's so underrated is the Mustang in the end. The green Mustang.
Yeah.
So they don't mention it, but the song that plays while they race, they build a car for the last race, of course, because they have to.
The engine never
went in that car. Shout out to Craig Lieberman.
Shout out to Craig. It was a green first-gen Mustang. But they put a Nissan Skyline motor into it. It was an RB26. So it was this Japanese straight-six turbo put into a American Mustang. And the song that played during it was called Mustang Nismo, which Nismo is the performance version of Nissan. Shout out to Brian Tyler, I think, who did the soundtrack for that movie. Because I had it on my iPod Touch for years and years and years. One of the most underrated cars in that film is a RB26 swapped Mustang, which is just the sickest thing in the world. But other movie cars.
DB5. So,
I definitely want an honorable mention for the DB5.
Absolutely.
From Goldfinger.
It was from Goldfinger.
Just
Goldfinger. Not Dr. No. No, so it started. The very first time it came up was Goldfinger.
Okay.
and it was introduced in that movie, and then it came back many, many, many times. And what we talked about, which was really hilarious, was Roger Moore never drove the DB5.
Yeah, Roger Moore never drove a DB5.
In the James Bond movies.
But then in Cannonball Run,
yes, in
he drove
Run
a DB5.
Oh, well, if we're going to go there, then I would say the 77 Special Edition Trans Am that was in Smoking the Bandit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah,
was
yeah,
legendary.
I am counting down my days till I can find one of those to drive because those are just so iconic, so cool.
They're fun. It was a very powerful car.
Yeah.
Now, steering wise, yeah. And the hood scoop was real.
So yeah, it was a real shaker hood scoop.
Yeah. And you could jump bridges, evidently, with it.
Little known
Duke boys.
okay, speaking
the
of
amount
the Duke
of cars
boy,
that they ruined for that movie was pretty legendary.
The Dukes of Hazzard during their filming, I think I said this on a previous podcast.
I think you did.
The Dukes of Hazzard had such a problems finding chargers that they had a little Cessna airplane that would fly over interstates, and they had a runner car down below, and they'd say, hey, there's a charger coming up. That runner car would go find that charger, flag them down, and offer to buy the car on the side of the road. That's how desperate
crazy
they were for these chargers.
Yeah.
And that's back in the day.
Yeah.
So chargers now are insane. Speaking of which, if you're looking for YouTube channels, forget his name. It's escaping me. But
well,
the guy
shout
who
out
played
to
the guy shout
who,
out to
the guy who played Bo Duke in the original TV series.
Yeah.
The guy who played Bo now has a YouTube channel just dedicated to the General League.
I think it was Larry Hagman.
No.
Larry Hagman. No. Oh, thank
no,
you.
Oh, it's Danny DeVito.
Thank you for doing this because it was the blonde guy, right?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, it was
Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, no, not Rob. That was Deuce Bigelow, American Gigolo.
Could you imagine Rob Schneider and Danny DeVito doing a new Dukes of Hazzard
with a new Daisy?
The new who would play the new Daisy?
John Schneider.
I think that is him.
John
I think
Schneider.
That's him.
You're right. It's John.
God, who would play the new new Daisy Duke with Danny DeVito?
I think
DeVito
that would be Oprah. Oprah would play the new Daisy
Oprah?
Duke.
Oh my God.
Oprah.
These boots are made for
mass exodus from the theaters.
No, that's
how about
that's
best?
Nancy Sinatra.
Cars and music videos. Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Great cars.
Great cars. Great songs.
Well,
great music. Everything.
But here's the thing.
All good.
I feel like
all
music
good.
Videos aren't really as big anymore.
Well, they're not. I mean,
there's no MTV.
Yeah,
I mean, like, the only reason music videos are big anymore, like, there are obviously music videos on YouTube that get millions upon millions of
views.
Well,
they're
views,
on YouTube.
Right.
But it's just because people just want to hear the song, so they just play the YouTube
right.
video
yeah,
on
yeah,
their phone
yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
while they're working. They're not watching. There's no real big craft in music videos anymore.
Well, Metallica's Fuel, but that was quite a few years ago. But Metallica's Fuel was a nice one. That was kind of an homage to, like, dragsters and stuff. So
let's talk about Guns N' Roses' Chinese Democracy. How about
what?
Yeah, he hates that album.
Okay.
See, but I grew up, because when was that album released? Chinese Democracy by Guns N' Roses.
Well, that was not really Guns N' Roses. So,
okay.
Chinese
what?
Democracy. Okay. I think Axl Rose worked on that for 30 years.
What?
No, he actually he did work on it
for 30 years.
Like 8 years, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
But
all right, finish
it. But Chinese didn't have Slash on it.
Oh,
and didn't have
really?
Duff.
See, that's the one that I grew up with, though, because it came out
because,
when I
can't even tell you one song.
Yeah,
it.
But that's also
I
was
got
good.
A funny feeling.
Guitar Hero.
Yes.
Oh
my God.
So
Guitar
there you
Hero.
Go.
Yeah.
But Guitar Hero brought back all you know those things.
Well, Slash
but
there was
Guitar
a
Hero.
Aerosmith edition of Guitar Hero that was just
was
Aerosmith
there?
Songs.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses Lies. I used to love her, but I had to kill her.
Wow.
And now she's buried in my backyard.
Guns
N'
Roses.
And I can still hear her complain.
We took a dark turn.
Real
dark. We took a dark turn.
Let me turn it around.
I'll bring the guitar next time.
I was sitting right here.
Yeah.
Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
And I was playing Guitar Hero for the first time ever.
Not called Plymouth Rock.
I was playing Guitar Hero, and I zoned out. I remember I was thinking about Lake Shelbyville because we were going on vacation there.
Okay.
Really?
This was like 2010 or something. I'm sitting there. And
how
I'm
many
playing.
Hallucinogens were you taking?
I was just going to say, are some psychedelics
I was
involved?
On acid as a 10-year-old. I just came home from junior high.
Yeah, so I was playing Rock. It's a tough day.
I was playing Rock You Like a Hurricane, and I zoned out, and I kept playing the song perfectly, and I zoned back in, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It was the weirdest moment because I was probably, I don't know, I was maybe 12. Like, I had never done, I had never had muscle memory like that before.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, what your body does. I mean,
and now I disassociate while I'm going like 90 on the highway. I forget I'm alive, and I'm like, "Oh my god!
Wow! I am so glad you told me that. I'm not going to worry about you.
Oh,
you
don't
every
do
time.
That. You're not driving a long distance, and you start thinking about why the Earth is round.
I never
and not
think
a cube.
Of anything else but the road and full concentration.
He never thinks.
I
of
don't
me.
Think of. I don't think of anything.
I learned
at all.
About paying attention while driving. While riding with my Uncle Jack to Kansas, and he was making peanut butter sandwiches while driving with his niece.
Yeah. I used to drive a delivery truck, and I would be eating my lunch, talking on a bag phone, because this is when we had the bag phone. Talking
Those are great. The, I think they mess with your head a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Because they're pretty strong.
Bag phone. And I had.
I don't like how you're just staring at
was,
the ceiling.
I thought there was a spider up there.
Oh yeah,
in Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
Was, so,
yeah.
no, but I was. So I was driving through a toll booth, eating my lunch, talking on the bag phone in a manual truck.
I always
while smoking a cigarette with a stick shift.
It was yeah. All of those.
I always thought this story. Took place in the RX-7.
That story?
Yeah. You,
no,
was, you had told no, me that a, story before.
I know,
but
it was the...
It was a manual box
a manual
truck?
Delivery truck, yeah. It was a delivery...
Probably drove
it was
like
a
Model A.
It was a...
floating gear.
What job
was
that?
Subaru. It was a Subaru.
Subaru box?
No.
Mitsubishi?
Oh,
Mitsubishi.
I think I know.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, Mitsubishi. No, it was a Mitsubishi. That was when I worked at CDS Plastics, and I used to deliver metal and plastic parts.
Because they make
that was my job.
The Subaru Sandbar.
But... And not air-conditioned. So was a fun summer.
Crank windows?
Yeah. Yes. Crank windows.
I was thinking of the Subaru Sandbar, but that's probably the size of this couch.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tiny. It's
right. Why would that's just not a very good truck, then.
No, it's not. It's not very good.
What movie was that in?
Yeah.
What?
Let's talk
Subaru
about that.
Sandbar? I don't know.
Probably movie so, vehicles.
Trying
so,
to think of
what are we
other...
talking about now?
well,
so more movie vehicles.
What about Kit? I feel like Kit doesn't get much love anymore.
I liked Kit a lot, but
I liked, didn't love, just liked.
I thought it was cool. I liked it.
I hate the steering wheel of it.
I didn't like David Hasselhoff. Sorry,
yeah, no one
sorry,
does.
Dave. Oh. Sorry, Hoff, whatever your name is.
Well, you're on a first name basis with him. Sorry, Dave.
Davey.
No,
listen, Davey.
He was there when the wall came down, okay?
Was he?
So,
right,
it's the Hoff.
The Hoff.
He had his gold chain
the Germans,
out. No
the Germans undershirt. Love the Hoff.
There's a great YouTube channel called Regular Car America. Reviews, and they did a review of a Kit replica car.
Oh,
and it had the steering wheel that was just the two prongs on either side. And they're like, this is the worst experience in a car we've ever had. Because you know how you go like,
spin
your hand around
your hand,
the circular wheel? You can't really do that. You have to kind of like, it's like two fins. If they like slap it over
but you
the
know what
side.
Would have been hilarious? If I had that car, this is what I would do. If I had that car, I would put that little ball on it that you use. You know, it's a little
those
ball.
Those things actually did work pretty
around.
Good.
Yeah, so
they're great.
Spin it
around.
Yeah,
I know what you mean,
I would
though.
Do that for that. And see, problem solved. It's
but
easy.
Then you're not moving. You're
not movie accurate.
Wow. Okay, you just blew the views on that one.
Oh, sorry. The one dog sleeping on. On
how
its
many
dog
biscuits you got there? How many dog biscuits you pushing?
We're talking to the dog and the dog only now.
Cranking up to zero.
I'm trying to think of more modern movie cars. But see, that's the thing. There's not a whole lot of like star cars that are
not
so iconic.
Not a ton, but. One of the things we talked about, we've always talked about in these podcasts, is almost every single car movie makes it. You can't go to a dollar bin and find car movies in the dollar bin. You just can't. Because,
sorry, Lightning McQueen, I would say, is like movie car from my age, from my generation.
I don't remember that one.
From Cars, Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So cartoon
so,
car.
Because I'm thinking like, Steve McQueen. I'm thinking Bullet. Yeah. I'm thinking, okay.
People take like old like Chevy Luminas and like Chevy.
I was going to say,
Monte Carlos and stuff
build
and paint
one
them
like
red.
It?
And, They put the ka-chow down the side.
Yeah, you grew
95.
Up on that.
Yeah.
That... I mean, well, that really shaped my generation, I
think.
Oh,
sure. Like, absolutely, yeah.
Even to this day on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, I see memes and jokes about the original movie Cars.
Yeah.
Which came out 15 years ago. What's up?
You kids and your ticks and your talks. And
my tick and my talk.
All that.
Do we want to place a bet if TikTok is still around on Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
it keeps partially getting shut down by the Chinese government?
Really?
Oh, no. It'll be there.
It'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Everything good will prevail.
It's the best spy thing you got.
Is
oh,
it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a million things on my phone now. TikTok, it's whatever.
Yeah, the applications. Before, they used to just use a flashlight. Because you wanted, before Apple would put a flashlight on, they would have an app that was a flashlight, and they would just steal all your data.
Yeah, that's nice. It's good.
Oh, I didn't know they were stealing my data.
Nice of them.
Nice. Yeah. I was on my phone, actually, the other day, and, like, all my apps would just keep quitting. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm sure there's some guy in the Ukraine that's, like, closing out my apps
for me.
I think you might as well
believe that all of your data is completely stolen at this
point. That's the interesting thing about my generation, though. Is
you guys
that
don't care.
We just fully know that, okay, there's all these celebrities that keep getting canceled for, like, tweets that they said or whatever, blah, blah, blah. My generation has just always known that everything online is permanent.
We've just grown up
with the fact that, like, all of our information's out there. All of our tweets are permanent. Anything we say is going to be recorded.
Yeah.
And we just don't care anymore. Like, your parents' generation was like, I think there's a wiretap in this.
No,
it was
mine anyways. It may not have been quite that drastic, but definitely the whole thing was like, oh, they're going to put a microphone in your house. Now people get Amazon.
Yeah, they literally buy their own wiretaps.
They buy their own bugs. You're absolutely, right. They buy their own
people
bugs.
Used to freak out about being bugged, and now it's like, I have three different bugs in my room. I have a Google Home, a Amazon Alexa, and I have my phone.
And you get free email, and you go like, you can rifle through my stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a very
It's very
strange
different
because
term. I'm just fully accepted that, like, my information's out there, and it is what it is.
It is
100% my information's out there. I know for a fact. And there's probably more than three microphones recording this conversation right now.
Probably.
Well, they could.
I wonder if they've got better microphones.
Well, I don't think that's not a possibility. I think that's you guys have the
good
microphones.
Nice.
I've got good
microphones.
I don't know what this even is.
Yeah. If you've been wondering why my dad's been speaking in
a transatlantic. Two turntables and a microphone.
Dateline Mount Fuji.
I remember that.
The old Rooster Teeth. Shout out to Rooster Teeth for pretty much dissolving.
Yeah.
Rooster Teeth,
they did, like, video game videos and stuff like this. My dad and I went down to their convention in Austin, Texas in 2013.
Oh.
And it was like an internet, like, studio, essentially. They did, like, a bunch of short films and stuff. And what? Did you break it?
No, this is a Shure microphone.
Really?
This is a Shure.
Those
are Shures, too.
Sure.
I make jokes about you guys being
the
1800s,
yes.
But that microphone is literally from, what, the 40s?
It has to be. It literally is your great-grandfather's.
We should put that in the Model A when we take it to shows.
Yeah, you should. Well, we should,
Just shove a bunch of, like...
Yeah.
Make it a police car.
No, that'd be fun.
You trade the Cadillac for a microphone?
Well, I was going to say, we could hang this upside down and put a giant...
makes sense.
giant speaker on top of the...
A
Bluesmobile.
You two girls.
An air raid siren.
You over there.
An air raid siren.
You know what?
Yeah.
On Facebook Marketplace a couple months ago,
there
was a legitimate air raid siren for sale.
Wow.
And it was a Hemi V8 ran air raid siren that could be heard up to 15 miles. Like, the radius was 15 miles. And I always think about that because I'm almost in Chicago when I hit 15 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Just one air raid siren could be heard from my house
all
the way over here.
That's crazy.
But they never really give the specs of that speaker on the Bluesmobile, do they?
No, but it's actually fairly... We used to have one like that. We used to have a microphone like that's a speaker. You're talking
about
the microphone.
Oh, did I say microphone?
You said microphone. The microphone that was hanging down on a string, basically, that was run from the side to side. We used to have one that looked exactly like it. But yeah, I know I sound like I'm probably like in a tin can because yeah. I'm actually on an ultra microphone. But
how many squad cars did in Blues Brothers did they destroy?
Wasn't it like 105 cars?
Yeah, it was like a lot. Yeah, we talked about
because it actually held the record for several years of most cars destroyed in filming. You should go back and listen to episode one. Actually, isn't even released yet. We've made all of these podcasts without releasing a single one.
Yes, we haven't released this yet, so we don't know.
But yeah, hopefully you guys like. I mean, what if no one listens to these? Or
we got to find out when it's going to drop.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that we were hoping and guessing and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
so
we're just running on hopes and dreams
and fumes.
But thank God we've sunk in some of our own money into it.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
by we I mean my dad.
Yeah, well, we were saying that in our second or third episode that we built an entire studio.
Oh yeah,
and that we're flying Lear jets around.
We're
now
moving to Austin, Texas, to be with all the big podcasts.
The success,
million-dollar studio.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but no.
Do we want to make a prediction on Elon Musk? You think what new thing has he done now?
Elon Musk.
I'm going to say he leaves Tesla.
Really?
I think that's actually a fairly safe bet, actually.
You think? I'm just throwing that out.
I think he's actually going to focus more on
SpaceX.
SpaceX, yeah. I think he's actually going to do that because evidently, the government is paying him a whole goo-gob ton of money.
Oh, if you're in with the government, you're good.
Yeah.
Well, he had the best response because having done a lot of trade shows and been on stage for stuff, he had the best response when the ball, like, went through the window.
Yeah.
It was just like the way he handled it was perfect because I could give you a whole ton of videos where the CEO or whatever did not handle it well. And then those become viral.
Oh,
like
Steve Ballmer
and all that stuff. With Elon's, it's just...
That's probably the good thing is that I don't remember what he said.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said either.
He's just kind of like, well, that happens. Like, you know, it's like, well, we didn't test throwing the ball through the window.
Yeah, well, I do remember seeing that clip, but I don't remember what he said, and it was like no big deal.
I remember.
And that's why it's genius.
Yeah.
Because it didn't destroy things.
Well, what I was taught very early on... And from a friend of mine who was my sensei when it comes to computer programming, he basically said, "No."
He said, "Never, no, always."
No, always. No, actually, now that I remember, it was my boss, and she said,
"Never mind." This was Pickles the Hobo, who told me one time.
Oh my God!
Coming out of a fever dream.
No, she said once, if you're giving a demonstration, just say, watch this. Don't say what you're going to actually show them.
Oh, that's actually
good advice. Because a lot of times it doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't come up.
Say, watch this. The ball goes through and be like, look, it's glass.
Exactly.
I start my demos out with it. No time do my fingers leave my hands.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yes, that's a great one. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I was recently in a demo and it went horribly wrong. And it was like, and everything did not work. And the guy was fumbling through it. And I was just like, just say,
I shouldn't get this on tape. But should say that.
Are we taping this?
And I love the fact that people still use the terms tape, film.
Tape, film.
It's like. You have an iPhone. That's not filming anything.
No, I call it recording. Recording is good.
I haven't shot on film in years.
Yeah, but I call them movies because I don't usually call them films because of
I feel like films is such like the pretentious way of like
pictures.
Oh, I'm watching
moving pictures is the most pretentious.
Well, that's if you're either 95 or you're way overpaying for film school, so you feel the right to call them pictures.
Pictures, yes.
Yeah, that was a good investment.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Now it's like okay. Anything you learn there doesn't really apply anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. That
to,
is a whole.
Was it Riot? No, what?
Film Riot?
Film Riot.
Riot.
Just look up a Film Riot tutorial. It's like free film school.
Yeah, the truth is, you just have to do it.
There's no two ways about
it. That's what
that.
Radio and stuff is, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole thing in this podcast. We talk about doing a podcast for so long, and it's like, let's just sit and record it. Yeah, they're going to suck.
Well,
it's us. They're going to suck, but
yeah,
let's
we
just
did that.
Do it at least.
Well, and we have gotten better and better. We did get better equipment. Yeah. I know it's not a ton of equipment. It's not a big expense, but we did get better and better.
Well, the Plymouth Rock Studios got pretty...
I know you couldn't tell by the three bodyguards and the yeah. X-ray scanner
right.
that you walked through on
yes.
the way in here.
Yeah, but... High tech. Yeah. No, we...
it was nice you sent that limo out to
me. Oh, well, you know, it's the least we could do.
Kinda
it was like a hydrogen limo, too.
Looked like that dog thing from Dumb and Dumber, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we custom tailor them to each of our guests.
Yeah, did the limo driver ask you if you've ever heard the most annoying sound in the world and give you that annoying God. Sound? So, yeah. Yeah, that's how we employ that. But, no, I think that one of the cool things that I have learned recently is just to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're good at that, Zach, because you started your YouTube channel
yeah.
just doing it.
Yeah.
And
my first video sucked. My second video yeah. sucked.
It's supposed
my third
to.
Video
it will.
Sucked.
It's supposed to.
Actually, this recording for like my kids or my grandkids or whatever.
Yeah.
One of them might be interested at some point.
Well, okay.
It's like, yeah, so Grandpa had these cars and stuff like
yeah. Oh yeah.
Well,
I've never gone through because actually I was thinking of doing something similar but with my jobs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That would be fun to do.
Honestly, it's not a bad idea to just start talking into a microphone.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking like on my drive.
It's so
well
yeah,
you have a Zoom, don't you? I mean you have a nice...
I have a Zoom, but it's back in Colorado.
Yeah.
The other thing I heard Steve, you guys know Steve-O from Jackass?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
was on a podcast. And he was talking, or no, he was actually on the show Hot Ones. Have you ever watched Hot Ones?
No.
It's
no.
the show where they eat spicy wings and they get hotter
oh,
and hotter.
Oh, you
and
told
hotter.
Me about
I've
that.
Heard
you,
about
you
it.
It's
boys,
a
yeah.
really
yeah.
interesting show, and
right.
it kind of it's a good new take on interview shows. But he was talking about how cavemen used to draw cave drawings, like in the caves, knowing, like with the idea behind those was that those cave drawings would outlive them and
yeah.
show what, you know, what society was like. And so Steve-O says that's how he goes into all of his video projects of, I'm not making this for now.
Right.
I'm making it
yeah.
so
yeah.
it'll inspire the kid
yep.
100 years from now or whatever format that is. The kid 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And so people can see, it, like, you know, it the longevity of it rather than...
Yeah, what I wouldn't give them the reel-to-reel tape
yeah.
of just recording goofy stuff with grandma and grandpa and stuff.
Like oh yeah, those. Yeah, yeah. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And their travel logs and.
That's
yeah,
partially a lucky thing of my grandpa. Your guys' dad was in such the public eye that you can Google
yeah.
it and you can find recordings of him
oh,
if
yeah.
you really want recordings of him.
But they're not personal.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. It definitely isn't personal, but. Yeah. I mean, how many people out there don't even have recordings of their parents' voice?
That's true. That is true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah, that
now,
is
I mean,
true.
I have like 18 hours of my dad's voice on my computer now.
The issue
oh,
thanks,
right. yeah,
thanks
do.
For
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Ugh.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But the issue is you got to have the Beanium is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
So like before, if you record it on tape or something, it's like, oh, now where do I get a tape?
You got to keep converting it. And obviously yeah. right now I'm like, oh, an MP3 file, that's never not going to be able to be
yeah,
played.
It will.
Oh,
in
yeah,
10 years,
yeah,
they're
going to
be like, MP3? What are you, poor?
Right. Well,
right.
In that part, it doesn't even matter. If it's bad quality, it's the matter of that you can actually still get to it.
Right.
Because like, you know, the old 2-inch tape.
Yes.
Yes. You know, the broadcast.
That's what I'm saying because yeah. I bought a new iMac last summer for work.
Okay.
It doesn't have a CD drive.
Yeah.
So I found a bunch of old CDs in mm-hmm. our workroom and stuff
yep.
of
yep.
photos because
yep.
when you used to be able to go to Walgreens, they'd give you the films and then they give it to you on a CD.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I could just dump all of these onto a hard drive
right.
and then
yeah.
throw the CD away or whatever. Actually, probably it's honestly smart to keep on.
You'd
want to
archive
CD.
It. It'd be a good idea.
But then I brought it upstairs to my room, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a CD drive. I don't even have a FireWire input in my computer. So the old V8, the Hi8 camera,
yes,
I can't FireWire
yeah.
into my computer. I don't know how I'm going to convert that now.
It is one of the things that, well, I can convert it for you.
Well,
I mean,
but
we have generations of machines that, you know, we've kept. I have, for the very
I do the same thing. That's why I'm laughing.
For the
tin types in the workroom.
for the very
the Martin Luther printing press.
Right. Yes. Exactly. We have, but we actually have cassette players. We have a turntable, an old. Yeah. We have a turntable.
I have a VHS player. A DVD player.
I have a super VHS player.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. Silence. Silence fills the room.
Wow. No, it's.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. And a bunch of old cameras, only to play the tape so that we could eventually put them on something else.
Right.
Yeah.
We used to have that big over the shoulder VHS camera, but it was ruined in our flood.
Yes.
It sat in about 6 inches of water.
Yeah. Although. That is a camera I would like to get another one, and you can still buy them on eBay.
I want to get one of those and pull the guts out of it and then just get like a new modern 4K sensor that's like the size of a penny and just put it behind the lens.
That's all you got to do.
And then just record in 4K
have the
big shoulder mod.
I've watched people on the YouTube, which I don't know if it still exists when you're listening to this podcast.
What's YouTube? What is that?
What is this?
YouTube?
Yeah. YouTube.
Is it all about PVC piping? Why is it tube?
Actually, and why is it in a U shape? Yeah.
That brings up a good point, though. Are kids going to understand why it's YouTube?
No.
No, probably not.
It's tube TV, like TVs. Tube. Like it was like YouTube.
Well, yeah, you used to call TV the tube.
Right.
If you're a guitar player, what kind of amp do you want? You want a tube amp.
Yeah, you want a Marshall tube amp.
Oh, this is because the sound quality is not matched by anything. Yeah.
It's a totally different sound. It really is. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
The save icon on Microsoft products is a floppy disk.
It is.
Does anyone know what the heck that is anymore?
Right.
What is carbon copy?
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, CCing.
That is
copying.
True.
Oh, CC you.
Also,
what does that mean?
Also, this is horribly visual.
Blue ink.
But my friends.
I love the smell of that, by the way.
Oh, geez.
No, that was the
mimeograph?
Mimeograph.
Microfish?
Microfish.
That's how I. Coming all the way back. That's how I got my MR2 schematics, which were on microfiche.
There's RX7 groups and stuff where people have scanned in microfiches of it, and it's pretty intense.
That's pretty cool. What were you going to say?
I forgot what I was... Oh, my friend is a fourth grade teacher, and she was saying that kids no longer do this when they're going to take a picture. You can't see it through the podcast, but basically, like, I guess form a C and then click with your upper... pointer finger.
It's what you would do with an old Kodak Instamatic camera.
Right. Now kids go like this. They just move their thumb because that's how you take a picture on an iPhone.
Got it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And kids don't extend their fingers and put it up to their ear anymore because phones don't flip out. They go like this. They just put their palm up against their ear.
Really?
Because that's how you... I mean, that's how you hold an iPhone.
Yeah.
You're not going like this anymore. Flip phones were my age.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
this
crazy.
Part of the podcast is great for audio. By
oh,
the
yeah.
Way.
This
so
is just, yeah.
If you were here, you'd see.
Yeah, you'd see. You'd understand here at Plymouth Rock.
It'd make a lot more sense. Yeah, if you're out here.
But yeah, older technology and such. There's actually a couple of really good YouTube channels that go into older technology of cameras and stuff.
Yes, there are.
Traffic lights. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the fact that I know about these things actually is bothersome. 16-millimeter projectors that our grandfather used to let us thread the projector.
We have one. We have one.
Do we really?
Yeah, we have a 16-millimeter.
Do we have a Super 8
millimeter.
Camera?
Yes, we have a Super 8 camera.
You guys will never know the pleasure of film strips.
Film strips.
We need to talk after the podcast. I think I want to take the Super 8 camera on the road this summer.
Urban plate or urban blight?
You could take, we have two, so you could take either one.
Nice.
You could take the one that I
shot. Super
8
that still works?
Yeah.
And you can still get the film developed?
You can. There are
buy film
facilities.
Wait, from what I remember, you have to send it out to a place in Colorado.
It might be California, but yeah. But yes, you can
still
buy it.
See.
You can buy it, and you can actually, now it's funny, because you can buy it, you can also buy the developing with it, and the
digitization.
Digitization.
What's funny?
Yeah, all together.
Is that my friends and I,
it's very expensive.
Recently we went out and we had a whole day of shooting on Polaroids.
Yeah.
We all got Polaroid cameras,
well,
and
fun.
We had a fun day of running around a town a couple towns over, and we just shot on Polaroids, and then we have all these pictures from this day.
Didn't you go to Krispy Kreme? Or is that a different trip?
Definitely a different trip.
Okay.
And
that's all I think about is Krispy Kreme. That's all I think about.
Yeah, no, that was a totally different trip.
Okay.
But no, we ran. We looked for an abandoned airplane that was supposedly in this one spot, but then was removed.
At this airport.
Was this a fever dream or this was this?
Yes, I've been meaning to tell you guys. I've been tripping on acid.
Okay. All right.
No, but it was funny because my friend found his parents have smoked cigarettes for like 90 plus years.
Are these cigarettes?
They're little. so you know, like a
vaping?
Vape pen.
Yeah.
Think
oh,
of like
vaping,
a paper vape pen.
Vape pen. Got it.
And so they were part of the Marlboro Rewards program. And they smoked so much, they got three Polaroid cameras, one of which is still new in the packaging, and it's the Polaroid
wow.
Business Edition.
I would think that smoking is its own reward.
But well, anyway,
he
found this camera.
Yeah.
My friend Tyler got me a Polaroid for Christmas, and it was fun to go out, and we're like, look at these, like... Polaroids are so cool. Like, we were rediscovering old technology, which was just
fun. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. And actually, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, a little 2020 or 2021 spin on the Polaroids. It says on the back, do not put in your mouth. Don't know why they had to do that, but there is a reason. There is some kid in Virginia that ate one and now died or is,
probably.
You know.
Well, that actually kind of makes some sense because it's got...
Yeah,
no,
chemicals.
Who's expecting the chemicals? Yeah, to be on there, and you're
just
holding
it for
a second.
Yeah, but also, why are you putting it in your mouth?
Well, if you're,
I guess, okay, to hold the corner of it.
Exactly.
See, when someone is like, "Don't put it in your mouth," I just assume like,
okay, yeah, it's like you know, a toaster. Don't use in the tub.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah. There's that too. So, absolutely.
Do we have any other movie cars? What time are we at?
We're we said goodbye about an hour ago.
Are you serious?
No, it's 2:33, so we're at, yeah.
That is the Midwestern goodbye.
Can we warn the affiliates we're going long?
The affiliates. Yeah, remember when there was actual, like, broadcasting?
Should we put an intermission in this? And like, then
we could.
Just, like, food and drink.
Go on up to the lobby.
Any more movie cars you guys want to talk about? Any more? That's the thing.
I know you guys already talked. The Herbie the Love Bug was great.
Yeah,
great. You know, I think it was because the car was also accessible.
I think that's a big thing too. But something you just don't see anymore is like in new movies, you don't see an accessible hero. Like I said, there was a Herbie on every block back in the day. But now, I mean, what's a super accessible car? A Toyota Corolla. You don't see a sentient Toyota Corolla.
Not often. So, you know.
Because there's also the thing of souping up a car, like customized.
Yeah.
Now people don't really. The idea of customizing cars.
You throw in a chip, a mod chip.
Well, yeah, anything that you would visualize, like the Wachowskis.
Oh, yeah,
would have
Wachowski.
The chain steering wheel.
Oh,
I think it's almost gotten...
Up in Smoke. That Impala.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The lowrider?
Fringe around the top.
The lowrider?
It was a lowrider, yeah.
I think modifying has actually become so easy that it's no longer cool, that makes sense.
Nobody modifies the you know, you're right. Certain modifications are super easy, but other
chop your exhaust off.
Like, but nobody does body modifications.
No.
Yeah, not really.
That's a lot of work. I mean, it really is.
My generation just isn't into that. I mean, it's just like.
But I don't blame them because there's not a whole lot of reason to do that.
I think we were also kind of ruined by the Duraflex phase, where different brand than what you're thinking.
Flex tape.
No, where like body kits became real popular in the 2000s, right? You could buy bumpers
and stuff, big body kits.
But then there was the Duraflex, which looked exactly like the body kits, but made out of the thinnest plastic ever. And when they ship it to you, they fold your bumper in half to put it in the box. And literally, I had a friend who's just like, you just leave it out in the sun for a little bit and it re-expands. And they never fit properly. They were the most flimsy thing. You go over one speed bump and you see it's like a skirt going up. It's like, you know, this thin piece of plastic. It's like made out of red Solo cup material. Mm. Never fit perfectly. You always had to make your own bolt holes on it. And so kids, but you could get, you know, a full body kit for $150.
Really?
Unpainted?
Okay, you get what you pay
so
for.
So then you toss it on, car looks terrible, and then it just associates.
99. You know, I can't talk.
No one knows Bondo anymore.
No, but
no one my age knows what Bondo is.
Bondo is an art.
Bondo was an art. I did not have that skill. Mine looked like crap.
It is, but it's one of those things where you have to do it a ton of times. Yeah. You really have to do it over and over and over and over. And that's the same thing with painting. Painting a car is just a tremendous art. There's a finesse to it. Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's no two ways about it. It's
but all right.
Amazing.
That is now our longest.
I think so,
I'm cutting it off here. It's our I can't even talk anymore.
Mashed potatoes are getting to me.
I don't even understand that reference. I'm just going to keep moving forward.
See? That's, yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
Like Lorena Bobbitt.
Who's that?
Google it.
Or Bing it. We're trying to get sponsors here. Or Bing.
Or Bing.
Bing IO, baby.
Or DuckDuckGoGo Goose or whatever.
DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo is a good one.
DuckDuckGo.
See, DuckDuckGo.
Shout out, sponsors.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
She told me.
Yep. If you are still listening at this point, God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you and your family.
Wake up!
The dogs have fallen asleep.
Should we set off like an iPhone alarm to just jolt everyone away?
Let's put another log on the fire, though.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is...
Mother, can we have some more pumpkin pie?
Oh, my God.
Some orange juice. Sure, that we would actually be, served.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes. All right.